to bring local politics up close and personal. And you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Automatic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, feel me, brother.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, feel me, brother.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Don't forget, today is Thursday. That means that it is Eye on the Loo, Justice for Reggie, and we have some interesting endorsements that have come out. We need to talk about some of those endorsements for the president of the Board of Aldermen. We have that. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400. It's going to be a busy day. Don't you go away. I don't know. Thinking about Dr. Seuss this morning. Couldn't help myself. I'll be back. Stay with me.
To be here this Sunday.
What happened?
You didn't hear?
Uh-uh.
Well, last week, Jennifer Florida, you know, the Alder woman?
Mm-hmm.
Her son went into the hospital for brain surgery.
Oh, my God. How old is he?
12 or 13. That's not the worst part. Girl, the worst part is that a bunch of aldermen went up to Jim Shrewsbury, and they asked him to say a special prayer for the child. Because, you know, they always start their meetings with a prayer.
That's right. They asked a special prayer, too.
Yeah, well, not last week. Because that Jim Shrewsbury said no.
What? He said no to a child having brain surgery?
Girl, that's right. And they said it's just because Jennifer Florida and her ward endorsed Lewis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Lord, I'm going to have to pray for Jim Shrewsbury.
Well, I'm going to pray for him, too. But I'm certainly not going to vote for him.
Amen to that.
Paid for by the 6th Ward Progressive Democrats, Paul Shannon, Treasurer.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Be in the know as you're on the go with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Yeah. today. I don't care what others say. They say we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We had a show yesterday. We had people on talking about impeachment now, the call for impeachment. And we had some people calling up and saying, well, you know, it's just going to be so hard. I mean, we need to give Congress a chance or the Democrats a chance to end this war. We shouldn't be saying end the war now. What do y'all really want? Well, I guess the answer to that is easy. For people to speak truth to power. That's what I want. For people to never give up the fight, because the fight is always being brought to you. It's always being brought to you. And understand that you may not see the win in your life. You may see pieces of a win in your life, but that should never, whether or not you get to see the win has nothing to do with whether or not you should fight. Or even how you should fight. Dig this. Cindy Sheehan is going to be testifying against the Iraq war before a Senate committee on Friday. Okay? What's the big news about that? Well, first of all, she would never have been allowed in the last Senate. But here's the other piece of it. The United States Senate, the people that are holding the committee hearing, tried to find anybody that would speak in favor of the war. Contacted State Departments of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion, Vermont National Guard Enlisted Association, but none of them wanted to testify before Congress and before the United States Senate in favor of this war. What does that tell you? Remember how Cindy Sheehan was vilified? She's still being vilified. Did she ever give up in the fight against, and the statements against, and the actions against? Did she ever give up on any of that? And here it comes after her fight. She's now testifying in the United States Senate against this war, and there's nobody that wants to come and testify in behalf of it, on behalf of this war. You can never give up. You can never, ever, ever, not when you're doing something that is right, not when you're fighting a moral issue, not when you know that it needs to be done, you can never give up and never concede. Well, we'll never be able to impeach Boy George. What are you talking about? That doesn't mean that you don't keep trying to do what needs to be done. And who are you, God? You can predict the future? Get to me. Tim.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. First of all, this is an absolute rare for me to speak about voting issues, but the Jim Shrewsbury thing. So this is probably the first time and last time. But I want to say one thing.
What you want to say?
This is for all the listeners out here who are Shrewsbury supporters, shall I say. The black, I'm talking about the black folks. This is a shame. I seen that ad yesterday on the commercial with the children, the black children.
The black children.
I thought that was extremely offensive. And I want to say this. You know, for all that, you know, Barack Obama is supporting because he's black and this and that, I just want the people out there who had their children in there use that same black man because he's black mentality against his, against Shrewsbury and vote for Reed. It's a shame. There's one thing to humiliate yourself by letting your children get up in the, by letting yourself get in the,
but I wonder, you know what, I wonder if any of those children's parents were contacted. And here's what, here's why I think that they weren't. I don't know either way whether the parents were contacted, but if you look at every single print piece, this is how lousy Jim Shrewsbury is, and how he has an enslavement and a slaver's mentality. Every single print piece that he sent to North St. Louis had those exact same children in those exact same outfits. He just went out and went and grabbed some black kids and that black babies, threw them on his ads, his print ads and his television ads, and said, ain't nobody going to notice the difference between these black kids. They're the same ones.
But I wonder who's the guardians of those children. I mean,
I don't know.
And how could they, and if they do, I mean, if they do know, how could you humiliate your children like that? I mean,
I don't understand
how could a man who definitely doesn't care nothing about your children, you let them in that, it's if they knew about it. If they knew about it and knowingly let their children get in that, that is a shame. They have did a disservice to their children's present and future with that act. I just want the voters to know, you know, if you're going to just use that same black man mentality that you're using for Barack Obama against Shrewsbury,
get out there and vote. Now, I know you're going to be getting out there and vote.
Well, my voting rights have been taken away, so.
How have your voting rights been taken away?
Well, I've got convicted of a felony, so.
No, you're not. No, you can still vote.
I went to federal prison, and they said I'm not allowed to vote.
That's not true.
As long as I'm on probation.
Okay, are you on probation?
Yes, I'm on 5 years.
Okay, okay, all right, so you can't vote. All right.
Right.
But you know what you need to do?
Right.
You need to go find some people that you know are registered to vote. Get two of them to vote on your behalf.
Well, I told my mom's and everything, so she's definitely going to do it.
All right, but what I'm saying is find some. You knew your mother's going to go and vote. Go
right.
Find two other people that you know that are registered to vote so that you can have your vote represented. Go find some folks and make sure they vote on Tuesday, okay?
Oh, I got you.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, good morning, Liz.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I was sorry to hear about John Bass. His wake is today. He was my high school principal over at Beaumont at one time back in 1971. Irene Smith and I and a few others had gone to Beaumont that you may have known. But anyway, Lewis Reed is on his way to victory regardless of the smear campaign or the innuendo that Jim Shrewsbury is talking about. He should win. The Postal Patch, as you know, came out and endorsed him. He has most of the endorsements, so he's on his road to victory.
People need to get up and to go out and to vote, period, dot. Endorsements are fine and dandy, but it's, and I'm not crazy. I mean, we'll talk, I'm going to talk about the post-endorsement on I and the Lou. But the fact of the matter is if an alder person gives their endorsement and then doesn't work it, it's for naught. So every alder person that's endorsing Lewis Reed needs to be out there making certain that the people in their ward are getting up and voting for Lewis Reed. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, and then again from Maryville Center through Mason Road, you can expect some slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 44 in Doherty Ferry. Look for some delays there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, you've got traffic building there. northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270. Traffic is very heavy in volume. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for some delays around the 270 interchange. Westbound 5570 from the Poplar Street Bridge onto all the way back through 3rd Street. Look for some slowdowns there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through Graham Hanley. Look for some delays as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from Midspan into Laclede's Landing. Northbound 270 at the 70 interchange. Look for some slowdowns in the right lane as you exit onto Highway 70. And eastbound 40 from the Boone Bridge through Clarkson Valley. You can expect heavy volume, but everything's moving at the speed limit at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, a tornado watch is in effect until noon. Otherwise, very windy, mostly cloudy, occasional showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Some may be severe at times with large hail and damaging winds. The highs will be in the lower 60s, falling to the 40s by this afternoon with southwest winds at 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts maybe up to 45 miles per hour. The chance of rain today is 80%. For this evening, windy, much colder, mostly cloudy till early morning, becoming partly cloudy with a low around 30. For Friday, blustery, cooler, partly sunny skies actually in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day, high in the mid-40s. For Friday evening, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s, and Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast skies, 60 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. More riveting radio with Liz Brown is on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I am a parent, and I live in the city of St. Louis. There is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children, and not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by a committee to elect Louis Reed, Thomas Shepard, treasurer.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing. 602-1047.
This is your Congressman, Lacy Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Together, yeah. Yeah.
We're going to ride, 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 ride till we can't roll no more. That's the attitude you got to take. You're going to ride, 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 ride till you can't roll no more. 1-877-920-WGNU. What's my name? Say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Bill.
Hi, Miss Brown. How are you?
I am outstanding.
I am also. I have a prediction. I don't believe Mr. Reed can win this election. I'll tell you why. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, one of the reasons he won't be able to win is it'll be because of the low voter turnout historically for African Americans in the city of St. Louis in all four elections.
Okay, kind of like the Board of Education race where Peter Downs and Donna Jones won.
No, this is totally different than that.
Why?
Because this is totally different because I'm talking about...
You said low voter turnout.
This will be akin to how it was when Ms. Smith ran against Mr. Slate.
And again, you're using low voter turnout, but the
right.
Same was for the election where Peter and Donna won.
I'm not going to go down there. With you because I'm trying to hold on to what I said when I first called in.
Low voter turnout. Anything
right.
else?
Plus the fact about the Central Corridor, which always turns out, will even turn out more so because of the flack over the park situation with Barnes Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that vote
How so?
There will increase.
How so? Why
that,
so?
That vote there will increase.
Why is that? Why is that?
So you'll see the evidence when it comes.
No. Election. I didn't ask you. Everybody will see the evidence. I'm asking you, what about the Forest Park issue? Forest Park forever. The people that had all the green signs out are now in support of this.
The people that had the green signs out will be the people that will be voting for Shrewsbury.
But
the election day.
But again, the issue with them has been resolved. So
it
what's
hasn't,
gonna,
it, hasn't.
It has to have been resolved. The people that the campaign has agreed with the thing that Darlene Green and Slay have presented with Barnes.
Well, I'll tell you this, Louis Reed won't win the election.
You can say all that nonsense you want to, but when I press you for the explanation of it, you don't have the stuff to back yourself up. You can say that the sun's going to fall down tomorrow, too, because of global warming. But I'd like to hear the evidence other than your louder position and your negativism. People in the Central Corridor are going to turn out because of the Forest Park issue. What Forest Park issue? It's been resolved. So now what? Now what? More people are angry at Shrewsbury because of his vote for holding the deal up. Forest Park is not selling the land. 1-877-920-WG. You need to get your facts and stuff straight. David.
Hey, how are you doing?
I am outstanding.
You are. And only one word for that. Aggressive ignorance.
There you go.
You know. But look, I heard you yesterday, and I had to get in here today.
All right.
You know, one of the things that was really laid out to me when I heard this name, Lacey Clay, when the engineers had an informational picket up at Clyde Miller School when they opened it, the mayor went to come in. He saw that up there. He got back in his limousine. He took off.
He didn't cross the picket line.
Not at all. Lacey Clay crossed it, and then not only did he cross it, but when it was time to go, he tried to go out the back door, and it was some engineers out there. And another thing I thought was crazy.
And I was told 3 days ago that I was going to get a statement from Lacey on this school piece, and have yet to get it.
Yeah, don't be surprised if you don't.
I'm going to keep saying it till I got to keep. I'm not going to be surprised or anything. I want the statement. I haven't gotten it.
You know, I think what's going to happen is that he's going to get a big surprise because basically, if it's any candidate with any kind of credibility that runs against him, he won't be in that office. But look, another thing that came up, you know, for real, I think teachers. And I'm singling out teachers because they have an interest in themselves anyway, you know, and I know they care about children. But look, $50, $100, $200, $500 a piece should come from them because it was a case that was held in the Supreme Court of Missouri just last month. And a Board of Education lawyer said that teachers are just like any other employees. They don't have any permanency rights, no tenure. They can do whatever they did to workers, they could do it to them. Now, I think it was real clear when someone tells seven Missouri State Supreme Court judges that, I think they're in trouble. And I think they better start pulling some money out of their pockets and be for themselves and be for these kids.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get to me. You're on a wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. The truth will set you free.
Good morning.
That's just like the caller who called you and said that Lewis Reed won't win. That's just like me telling you, just because they sent me some literature in the mail with Maida Coleman on there for Shrewsbury, Shrewsbury's going to win because Maida Coleman's on his literature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whatever Maida got with Shrewsbury, that's her business. But just because Maida Coleman is on Shrewsbury's literature, don't mean I'm going to vote for Shrewsbury because
mm-hmm.
she's on there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And another thing, Brown, let me tell you this, just because, and that Ken King, honey, he needs to be run out of Jefferson City. They won't give Dr. Borshaw that extension. Did you hear about that, Ms. Brown?
Yes, indeed.
I'm very angry about that.
Well, why would, but again, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is why lawyers, some lawyers, love the law. Because when you have a case where people are acting as lawless as this, you are so excited. This is a bring it on lawsuit. As awful as it is that what Kent King did and what they did, I'm happy to see it because that makes the legal case, the lawsuit, so much more successful.
Tell the truth,
so bring it on. Keep doing this stuff. Because the fact of the matter is you're making this lawsuit a whole lot easier.
They make them themselves look like a fool.
Yes, they are. Well, yes, and they're just lawless. They've just how do you, they made this lawsuit so much easier.
And Ms. Brown, just like you told the previous caller, we turned down. Now the city of St. Louis, the Post Dispatch, and all the rest of them want to tell it. When Donna Jones and Peter Downs ran, we turned out.
That's
to get
right.
them on that board.
That's
they turned
right.
on low voter turnout. I get so sick of that, Ms. Brown.
They got more votes than Francis Slay got.
They sure did.
Got more votes than Francis Slay got.
They sure did, Ms. Brown. There are good teachers. There's good students in this school district, and we're not going to let the state have it, Ms. Brown.
Fact.
And like I keep telling Fact. You before, Ms. Brown, I'm quite sure Frankie Freeman, I don't know what she's thinking about now, but I'm glad she went on, and we know how she feels about the school district, Ms. Brown. But like I said, it ain't over with yet, Ms. Brown. Like you said, the lawsuit is on, Ms. Brown.
That's
and Ms.
Fact.
Brown, you have a beautiful day.
Take
Thank
care
you.
Of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to start out with taxation without representation. And I would want to know that I would like to talk about flip-flopping W, a.k.a. the war president, one of his former employees. I'm talking about Lewis Scooter Libby, and he's on trial for obstruction of justice. But my question to you and the listening audience is, I heard on several news reports that a juror has been dismissed, and the reason for the juror's dismissal is sketchy. But my question is, why wasn't the juror replaced? There were 12 to start out, now there are 11, and I always thought there was at least two or more.
My understanding is that they took one of the two alternates that they had and replaced that juror with the alternate.
No, there's 11.
Well, again, the report that I heard was that they replaced that juror with one of the two alternates that they had.
Well, that would mean it would be 12.
Well, again, all I'm saying is what the news report that I heard was that they replaced the one with, they have two alternates, and they replaced one of them with the alternate.
Oh, that's good. Then I would like to know, have you heard the name of the judge who's covering the case? Because the only thing I've been able to get is Judge Reggie.
Yeah, he's a man of African descent. Was a former prosecutor and a defense attorney. He was appointed by, I think, Bush. He has a very compelling story. The stuff that I've read about him is I like him. I like him.
Okay.
I like him.
And one other thing, a question I'd like to ask your listening audience is, where is Shrewsbury getting all of these big bucks for these TV ads?
Well, he ran one during American Idol last night. which is a, you know, a pretty, I would imagine it would be a kind of expensive place to get it. Well, he has been gathering his war chest for a number of years and hasn't had to spend any money for real. So he's, and a couple of times during this particular election cycle, Lewis Reed has outraised him in money. So, and he's had polling fundraisers and not a whole lot of people are coming. He had a war chest before he came into this. And the interesting thing is that all of the pieces of print that he's using, he's been using African, the same five African kids. One of the pieces of literature, he kind of airbrushed one of the designs off the sweatshirts, I guess just to make it look like it was, thinking that if it's different clothes, people won't notice that it's the same child. So
you can fool me one time, shame on me. But if you fool me two times, shame on you.
Thanks for your call. Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. You know what? Get on down to Sears. The trifecta of shopping experience, great prices, great locations, and great customer service. My name is Liz Brown. When you want to get your shop on, your refrigerators, your stove, everything you need, tell them I told you to.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Do you feel confident about your money? If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America, Incorporated, member NASD SIPC. David Gaines, representative. Heartland Bank and Securities America are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
Hello, this is Alderwoman Jennifer Florida, 15th Ward, asking you to vote for Lewis Reed for president of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. St. Louis is a great city, but it has many challenges. The days of old-fashioned politics as usual have kept St. Louis from becoming a world-class city. Lewis Reed will bring the team approach that is needed to deal with those challenges and to help build one St. Louis. More than ever, we need leadership to come together and to move forward. We need Lewis Reed as president of the Board of Aldermen. On Tuesday, March 6, join me, Alderwoman Jennifer Florida, 15th Ward, and vote for Lewis Reed, Democrat for president of the Board of Aldermen. Lewis Reed, building one St. Louis. Vote Reed.
Paid for by Citizens for Dion Flowers, Jill Flowers, Treasurer.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Clouds might bring you pain, but I will
be in your heart still, telling you don't look down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at the speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't you dare look down.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Liz.
Good morning.
How you feeling?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And, Liz, you know, the Mokwa supporters that listen at your station, because they all listen, I know they're so glad that the thing about Jeremy's over, because it was really personal, because they know that they had a bad officer out there doing it, and they're probably saying, I'd be glad when she's not talking about Jeremy anymore. So I know right now they're kind of glad that it's kind of blown over. They're not talking about it. They haven't heard nothing. But, Liz, I really think what I'm going to tell you really stemmed from that. Liz, if I was a bad police officer, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting in my car, I grab my donuts, and I eat my donuts, and I ain't bothering nobody, I'm just kind of drinking my coffee, and 5 or 6 hollow points came across the windshield and hit me in the lip, the neck, and the arm, and I wasn't doing nothing. That would make me think, you know what, the people out here ain't going to take this stuff no more. They're not going to take it. They are pissed off. Now, that's what happened last night. The police were sitting in this car, and they just fired up on him just for nothing. They just... people are just tired of what happened, and if I was a policeman, I would be mad at the bad policeman, because they don't know who to choose from, so it's going to make them look bad, too. They're going to get it, too, and it's bad. You see what I'm saying?
Why would
you
say?
He got rushed to the hospital last night. I don't know what kind of conditions he's in.
What? Why would you say it's blown over?
Well, because I don't understand what you're saying.
Why would you say the issue with Jeremy is blown over?
Well, because you don't really hear, I mean, you don't hear any updates, like, you don't hear anybody come out and say, now, the update on the policeman is this is what's happening, or you don't hear anybody say anything like that. So they figure...
Never underestimate what's going on.
Okay.
Never underestimate and never, ever say that stuff is blown over when it hasn't. Thanks
okay.
for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, because you're right, Liz, because even though things are happening... the media may, because of influence, may not say anything, but
yeah,
things do happen.
Yes, indeed.
I just want to. I don't live in the city of St. Louis, but I voiced my support for Mr. Reed, and I would challenge all the residents who live in St. Louis County to, if you know someone who lives in the city of St. Louis, make sure they're voting next week.
Well, do you have friends that live in the city of St. Louis?
I got family live in the city of St.
Well,
Louis.
Well, then
they're voting for Reed.
All right, make sure that they do. Make sure, because sometimes people say I'm going to vote, and then on election day they forget.
Yeah,
so
the people are going to turn out. And secondly, after this election, I'm thinking about the next first congressional election and the governor of Missouri. I'm not voting for Bill Clay, and I'm not voting for Jay Nixon.
Jay Nixon, I am not supporting Jay Nixon at all.
He's a bomb.
Worse
than that.
Did you
hear about what happened in Jefferson City with that director of the Agriculture Department?
Which part?
The sexual harassment deal.
Right, and how they're trying to change the rules to enable him?
Yeah, they went out. The governor of Missouri had the Missouri Highway Patrol investigating a case of sexual harassment. Isn't that a case for the Human Rights Commission?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it
is. And they try to cut a deal, you know, do some little under-the-table stuff, but it's blown all the way open. And I think the Missouri Farm Bureau they have a lot of leverage because they support the governor.
Okay, and I got to roll, but thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
D.
With Clay, Connie Johnson, and Maria Chappelle Nadal's
mm-hmm.
offices,
mm-hmm.
that I talked to Sherry at Connie's office, and Nicole at Maria's office, and Maria is for no vouchers, but she's not. She don't have an opinion about the state takeover of the St. Louis public schools. Okay, and Connie Johnson's secretary, she don't know where she stands, which means that she's not with us. And her number, Connie Johnson's number, is 573-751-7605.
That's ridiculous.
Maria is 573-751-4265. Okay? Now, and Clay, too, his office, they just absolutely don't know nothing.
What did you ask them?
I asked them, what position were they in regards to the state takeover of the St. Louis public schools?
And what did his office say?
I'm not sure. I said, don't you know what's on his website? Well, I don't think it's on the website. But anyway, Lou Reed has a rainbow coalition to that guy that said he can't win.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of people down there fighting for Lou Reed. A lot of people down there fighting for him. He needs to go down there and fight for him.
You know, it's that defeatist attitude that is just so sickening to me.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's just sickening. We can't win. We ain't got no power. We ain't going to win.
And let him know the truth will set you free. If you know the truth.
Or if you want to be free.
There you go.
If you want to be free. And the fact of the matter is that it is absolutely unacceptable for Lacey Clay. And I'm going to share a letter in Eye on the Loo that Lacey Clay, because he's going to try to hide behind, I'm a congressman. That's a state. That's a city issue. I'm not going to take a position on that. I'm going to bring you a letter that he signed off on. I'm going to talk about that in the next hour that he signed off on that said he involved himself in the St. Louis schools issue. So there is no excuse. It is outrageous that Lacey Clay's office does not have an answer to what Lacey Clay's position is on this state takeover.
And
the fact that his chief of staff called me earlier this week and said, I'm going to get you a statement.
It's in the mail.
Where's the statement?
It's in the mail.
Where's the statement? And it is completely unacceptable. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call.
Good morning, number one fabulous Liz Brown.
Good morning, Mr. Davis.
Teach, Liz, teach. Lewis Reed, do you have a phone number for anyone who would like to volunteer on Tuesday for him?
Let me get the phone number. I don't have it in front of me, but let me get you the phone number.
That would be very fine.
Okay.
And on Lacey Clay, he's out.
He's out.
Irene J. Smith, let's see if we can get you to take and want to run for that job.
All right.
All righty.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Robin.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
You tickle me when you turn your voice, make those voices. I was talking to my daughter. She's 21 years old, and she was asking about Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, Mama, would you vote for him? I was like, no, Rachel. I said, right now, I don't see any reason why I should. And she's like, well, Mama, he's a black man. And I was like, I said, look at Veronica O'Brien. Look at Condoleezza Rice. Look at Lacey Clay. Just because they have our skin complexion doesn't mean they're all about helping us.
And is your 21-year-old daughter going to vote in this?
Yes, she's registered, and my 19-year-old. They're both registered to vote. They're going to vote for Lewis Reed.
All right.
They don't want to vote.
All right. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back with Eye of the Loo. Stay with me.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brothers. Stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. The
are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. You know it's no fun to crash a car, and it certainly is not cheap, even when speed isn't much of a factor. More from ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
They are bumpers that fail to bump.
Automakers know how to build better bumpers. They just choose not to.
Adrian Lund, president of the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, says most mid-size cars fail miserably in slow crash tests. 6 miles per hour, the kind of speed, say, when you bump into another car in a parking lot.
We're seeing a lot of damage.
Expensive damage, up to $9,000 damage, resulting in $6 billion of insurance claims every year. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Car crashes are the number one cause of death for 15 to 20-year-old drivers, and now an insurance company wants to give parents a little peace of mind when their teens are in the car, alone, or with friends. American Family Insurance calls it the drive cam. You mount the vehicle. It records any unusual maneuvers. 17-year-old David Hackworthy says he's being much more careful now that the camera's in the car.
It's made me become aware of my surroundings and what's going on, not inside my car, but around it and ahead.
American Family says the camera can reduce risky behavior by up to 70%. Strong storms caused all kinds of weather problems from the Pacific Northwest through the plains last night, triggering tornadoes, hail, and heavy rain in parts of Kansas and Missouri. This woman's Mound City, Kansas home was damaged by a twister, but she's okay.
First thing I knew, there was officers coming to check on us to make sure that we were all right.
More than a half a foot of snow fell in the Denver suburbs. The conditions shut down parts of I-25 in Colorado Springs and I-90 in Washington. Are you ready for daylight saving time? It arrives early this year, a week from the Sunday, but why spring forward now? Tom O'Brien at the National Institutes of Standards and Technology says money.
One reason to try to change daylight saving time is the idea that perhaps this will save us energy.
This is ABC News.
Okay, heated cloth seats, all new Chrysler Sebring Touring available. Toyota Camry LE, not available. Honda Accord LX, not available. Yes, essential stain-resistant fabric, Sebring Standard. Other guys, not available? Wait a minute, there's got to be something. Oh, here we go. Steering wheel, Sebring Standard. Toyota and Honda, Standard.
The all-new Chrysler Sebring, completely redesigned inside and out with many exclusive features. As described, $21,110. MSRP excludes tax.
Never miss your favorite shows with a free DVR upgrade from Dish Network. Introducing Dish DVR Advantage. The two-room DVR comes standard. Plus, get over 200 channels, free standard professional installation, and 3 free months of HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, or Starz Movie Pack. All for just $39.99 a month for 10 months. Call 1-888-499-DISH today. Offer ends 5/31/07. Subject to change without notice. Requires $49.99 activation fee. 18-month commitment and credit card auto pay with online billing. 10-month discount requires mail-in redemption. Restrictions apply, including early cancellation fee.
It's a battle between political correctness and freedom of speech in one California school. Here's ABC's Dear DeBryant.
Rebecca Rice was a freshman at a high school in Santa Rosa when some classmates were teasing her about her Mormon upbringing. When they asked, "Do you have 10 moms?" she was the one who got in trouble for her response. She shot back, "That's so gay." After getting a warning from the principal and a notation in her file, the girl's parents sued, claiming school officials violated their daughter's First Amendment rights. Rice says she wasn't referring to anyone's sexuality and says the phrase means "that's so stupid or silly." A Superior Court judge will rule in April. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
He was tough enough to play a mobster in TV's The Sopranos, but actor Vincent Pastore couldn't take the pain of ballroom dancing. He's dropped out of ABC TV's Dancing with the Stars after just 1 week of training. Pastore says it was just too physically demanding. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a civil engineering student at the University of Missouri-Rolla has been charged with making a terrorist threat. Police say 22-year-old Sujith Kumar Venkatramala claimed to have a bomb and anthrax when police confronted him early yesterday morning. Police found a threatening note in which the student threatened to destroy the civil engineering building. Police found a white powdery substance on the student's person, but tests showed that it was powdered sugar. The former CEO of an area nursing home is going to prison. A federal judge in St. Louis sentenced Robert Wachter to 18 months in jail after he pleaded guilty to conspiracy to defraud Medicare and Medicaid. The charge stems from allegations that the Clay West Nursing Home and several others were understaffed and failed to provide proper care. Elderly residents were reported to be malnourished, dehydrated, and otherwise neglected at the facilities. The judge also handed out heavy fines to Oak Forest North and Lutheran Care Center, both in St. Louis. Finally this hour, a former Cardinal outfielder may be thinking of a career change. Former MVP Larry Walker is at the training camp to test out a potential coaching job. Walker retired after the 2005 season with the Redbirds and is visiting spring training for the second year in a row. Manager Tony La Russa and the team have extended invitations to several former players to help out in the preseason, including recently retired pitcher Alan Bennis. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through Graham Hanley. You've got slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight. Then again from 141 through Mason. Expect slow traffic there. Northbound 55 from Arsenal through 44. You've got some delays there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from Midspan into the Laclede's Landing area. Northbound 270 from Gravoy through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. You've got slow traffic there. Heavy volume on 55 northbound from Butler Hill through 270. Heavy volume as well on 44 eastbound right at around the 270 exchange. Northbound 270 from Clayton through Ladue. Expect slow traffic there. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue. The 5570 merge. Look for some delays as well. Southbound 170 from 270 through Hanley, look for some slow traffic there. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 through the Chain of Rocks Bridge, you've got slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is heavy at the top of the ramp. Eastbound 70 from 270 approaching St. Charles Rock Road, you can expect some delays there. And northbound 270 at 70, look for some delays in the 70 exit lanes. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Today, very windy, mostly cloudy, occasional showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Some may be heavy and severe at times with large hail and damaging winds. The high will be in the lower 60s, but dropping to the 40s by the afternoon with a southwest wind around 20 to 30 miles per hour, gusting to 45 at times. The chance of rain today is 80%. This evening, windy, mostly cloudy, much colder, with a low around 34. Friday, blustery, cooler, partly sunny in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day, but the highs will only be in the mid-40s. For Friday evening, mostly cloudy, low in the mid-20s, and Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds, 61 degrees, Lambert Fields reporting the same. Stay tuned now. It's time for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. Iona Liu is up next. Take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing that.
power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother. Stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
citizenship. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City, knock-down dragouts at the Board of Aldermen.
Welcome to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown, and I am here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning.
And we have much to talk about. We are a few days outside of an election. March 6th is the election for president of the Board of Aldermen. We have some endorsements that have come forward on this, and we're going to talk about some of those endorsements. It's interesting. Southside Journal endorsement and the Post-Dispatch endorsement. Half a kiss and seven slaps. I'm not sure about some of these endorsements that we have. And then we also have the issue of not only just the race that we're having up going on in the city of St. Louis, but there's some other legislative issues that are going on. People have stepped down from their jobs. We have some bills that have been introduced up in Jefferson City. We have the voucher issue that's going on in Jefferson City. Some missing people in action on this whole school board piece. We have the what's going on in Jefferson City with the state denying the city of St. Louis Board of Education and Diana Borso the opportunity to respond. I'm almost out of breath. There's just so much stuff. There is so much stuff out here to talk about. And I kind of would like to start with the Board of Aldermen, President of the Board of Aldermen election. That's a big one. What are you seeing out here? What are you feeling out here in terms of the energy for this election?
It's not as energetic as it should be. I mean, a lot of people, they know that this is an important race. Some people do. Some people do not see Lewis Reed's supporters as involved as they should be in his race, as particularly the aldermen who indicated that they support him. The energy that should be there is not there, but it's an important race. A lot of people are really insulted by the literature that is coming into their homes from Shrewsbury. They find it very insulting. Some people don't even get to the point of reading it. At least three people that I talked to yesterday said they didn't get to it. They just tore it up as soon as they saw it.
And one of the things that I'm hearing out here, I was with some folks yesterday driving around the city looking at the signage that is and the coverage that Lewis Reed has out there. There is, and I drove South St. Louis yesterday to look at the Shrewsbury signage. Well, signs don't vote, but to me they are somewhat indicative of at least some of the things that the candidate is addressing out there in terms of trying to get visibility. And there's amazing signage for Lewis Reed all across the city, and signages in places where you wouldn't necessarily expect to see stuff. And I also have been talking to folks out there. It seems to me, Irene, that this is one of those elections, because it's going to come down to this time of the year, it's going to come down to the people that always go out and vote. It's going to come down to the regular voters. And those tend to be the people that find that are either voters by habit or voters by knowledge that they do a lot of. They figure out who the candidates are, and they have at least a working knowledge of those candidates. And so it's going to be a very interesting race, and I am looking forward to the election day.
It's going to be important that North St. Louis turns out in this race, and hopefully the pattern that has emerged in terms of voter turnout will not stay the same. It's going to be a very interesting race.
It is, and it's a very, very, very important race. And we're going to have to take a break here in just a second, but I do want to get to some of the endorsements. But before we do that, Senator Bass has passed, and I know that Senator Bass was someone that was significant in your life.
Yes, he was. He was my high school principal, and throughout my career and his career, we stayed in contact with him. You know, I have a lot of fond memories of him, and his funeral service is, his wake is today. Mm-hmm. His visitation is today from 4 to 8 at the Twin Chapel Way Funeral Home on Natural Bridge.
We'll be back. Eye on the Loo. Stay with us.
Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a Motivational Moment. If you always do what you've always done, then you will always get what you've always got. If you want something that you've never had, then you must do something that you've never done. If you always think the way you've always thought, then you will always get what you've always got. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
I am a parent, and I live in the city of St. Louis. There is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children. And not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by a committee to elect Louis Reed, Thomas Shepard, treasurer.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and this is Eye on the Lou. It's Thursday at 7 a.m. I'm here with Irene J. Smith, and we're talking about what's going on all across this state. And Irene, you brought in a piece of legislation with you this morning to talk about, something that is kind of slid under the people don't know about this. Talk to us about House Bill number 991.
Well, House Bill 991 is a piece of legislation that is the primary sponsor is the Speaker of the House. It's a tax credit legislation, big chunk for large developers. It's my understanding that Rodney Hubbard was going around. I guess his task was to line up the African American support for this legislation. It would give a considerable.
Well, let's look at the names of some of the supporters. Hoskins, Hubbard, Ellamine. I mean, these are people that introduced the bill. Hoskins, Hubbard, Ellamine, Robin Wright Jones. We also have, also from the city, we have Rachel Stork and Villa that have introduced. And I don't know if that's Connie Johnson or is it just a Johnson's name that's on there. So talk to us about what this bill does. It's really a remarkable bill.
It is a remarkable bill because one of the things that it does is it gives huge credits. I mean, if you purchase property, whatever amount you spend on the purchase, the acquisition, the environmental cleanup, if it is a large project, say, for an example, in the city of St. Louis, if you're doing a project that involves, I think it's 75 acres, of land, it says for all other cities, that includes the city of St. Louis, then you can take advantage of this. This is a 5-year tax credit. Basically, it could cover up to, I think it's $100 million.
That we're paying people to come in and buy up land in the areas that they call it the eligible project area. We're talking about 30 acres for towns and villages and cities with populations of 75,000 or less. And then for cities that are bigger than 75,000 and counties, parcels that could, so we're talking about 30 acres for those cities and then 75 acres for anything larger than 35,000.
Anything larger than 75,000?
Yeah, 75,000.
And what it is an amount equal to 50% of the acquisition cost and 100% of any interest cost that is incurred for a period of 5 years after the acquisition. Keep in mind, this tax credit is transferable if you decide you're going to sell. However, if you purchase property from a municipal authority, such as the city of St. Louis, and I would also think that would include SLDC or LRA, you're not eligible for this project. And then there's some interesting other language in it that kind of leads you to think about, does this involve something that a development that involves Missouri and Illinois, because if you look at on page 2 at section B, it says at least 80% of the eligible project area shall be located within a Missouri qualified census tract area. I didn't get an opportunity to look up qualified census tract area, but I would think that it would be an area that would be identified as a census tract under federal legislation. But it also leads to the question, is this for a development that might also involve something that is outside of the state of Missouri, such as in Illinois? It also, we know we're looking at the proposed development up on Goodfellow and I-70 that this may be targeted for. This is due to go into effect in January 2008.
Well, what I think is interesting about this piece of legislation, and for the record, it is House Bill number 991 introduced by the Speaker of the House, and it has a number of city representatives that are supporting this, which is really kind of shocking, given what public sentiment has been about eminent domain. The fact that this piece of legislation introduces another form of eminent domain and condemnation opportunities is really remarkable. It's kind of like Boy George pushing for a war when the majority of the citizens are opposed for the war, asking for a surge when people want to get out. Why would you introduce a piece of legislation that has this component in it in the times that people have really made it clear about their position on eminent domain?
I think it does actually. It does not really contribute, but this is what it does. Increasingly, if you look at what has happened in St. Louis County, the condemnation awards that are coming out from the commissioners are very high. They have been higher than anticipated by the developer. You know, developers offer the people a little bit amount of money. Then they say, no, we want to go to commissioners. Commissioners are giving larger awards, and juries are giving larger awards. What this would really do is, okay, you had to spend more money to get the property. So what this really does is it insulates the developer from that additional cost. And that, you know, is problematic for me, particularly since this only applies to large developers, really, really large projects. So basically, the question becomes, what is the amount of the investment by the developer? Because quite often the developers take the land that they acquire, they use that as leverage to obtain loans on the property. And now they're turning around, they're going to give, you know, the cap on this is up to $100 million of tax credit.
And it just sickens me. It just absolutely sickens me that we have people running around trying to give away the farm to those that already have money. Think of all of the cuts that we've had in this budget, the Medicaid, the Medicare costs, that people don't even have colostomy bags because of the cuts that this guy has made. And now we have yet another piece of legislation, and attach this one to the voucher bill as well. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. You can call it tax credits all day long, but that's money that we'll never see again.
Exactly. That's exactly. And then of course the counter argument is, well, if we don't do this development, you wouldn't see an increase in the taxes anyway. But then the other argument is, if you have a piece of legislation like this and you have city state reps who are just immediately jumping on this, I don't see a community benefit piece out of this for the larger community. So then it is incumbent upon those legislators who are supporting this to come up with a community benefit agreement, such as the Automatic Black Caucus did in with the BJC lease. It's like, okay, you want this? You want this piece right here, then there has to be something in here that benefits the larger community and not just simply the developer.
And if we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars worth of stuff here for developers, you need to come up with something big and something big for the community. Here we have Rachel Storch. We have Robin Wright Jones. We have Hubbard and Hoskins and Elamine all on this bill. And you're in the city. This is going to really impact the city. So where's this, what benefit does a, I get what the developer gets, but what benefit does a city get when they can swoop in and buy huge parcels of our land of land within the city, and we pay them back? for their cost.
Right. I mean, it's like you're paying for 100% of it. You know, why don't you get that deal? That's something to be looked at. And the fact of the matter, and this is where, you know, community benefit agreements come into play. If you're going to have some legislation like this, then there needs to be some firm benefits. And people say, well, the community is going to benefit because there are going to be jobs,
yeah,
and there are going to be
blah,
this.
Blah, blah.
Okay. Well, we want some of the piece on the front end, just like the developers are getting.
And not only that, why is it, if you really are looking for people that are truly vested in, not somebody that just develops and leaves, you know, because I don't live there, I don't care, it doesn't matter to me, all I want is build my building and I'm done. Why don't you make this offer to people that have a history of commitment and experience and vision for the city, for the different cities that they're doing this for, instead of these big developers that can come from anywhere, do their thing and then leave?
And then the other thing is, it's like normally if you're doing a big development, sometimes the project area contains contiguous parcels, but here they don't need to be all connected to each other, all touching
so
on each other.
So they could buy 75 acres all over the city.
As long as the city says that that's an eligible project area, then they could get the benefit under this piece of legislation should it pass.
Why wouldn't they just do it just for the, I mean, what a great deal for them. What a great giveaway for them. Listen, folks, this is Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. We will be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for this 7 o'clock hour. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic at westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and Graham. Look for some delays there as well. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight and then again 141 through Mason. Look for slowdowns there. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Doherty Ferry. Look for some slowdowns around the 44 Exchange. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. You've got slow traffic. Northbound 55 from Arsenal through 44. Expect some slowdowns. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing. It is a slow go there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Brentwood, look for heavy volume. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through the 270 Exchange, look for delays around there. Eastbound 44 between Soccer Park and 270 looks good. Northbound 270 from Clayton through Ladue, look for some delays. And then again around the 70 overpass, you can expect some delays there as well. And northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is a little delayed. Westbound 270 from Illinois 3 through the Chain Rocks Bridge. Look for some slowdowns. And eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. You've got some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to a tornado watch in effect till noon today. Otherwise, very windy, mostly cloudy. Occasional showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Some storms may be severe with large hail and damaging winds. The highs will be in the lower 60s, but falling into the 40s by this afternoon. Wind gusts will start at about 20 to 30 miles per hour, with some going up to as much as 45 miles per hour. The chance of rain today is 80%. This evening, windy, much colder, mostly cloudy till early morning, partly cloudy then with a low around 30. Friday, blustery, cooler, partly cloudy in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the evening or throughout the day, with a high in the mid-40s. Friday evening, mostly cloudy, with a low in the mid-20s. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, high around 40. Currently, we've got 61 degrees, cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 61 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Jeffrey Boyd supports Slay and the Republican request to a state takeover of our schools.
Jeffrey Boyd helped Slay to deny 22nd Ward voters their right to a recall election by using political intimidation.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, there's stuff going on in the, it's not just the President of Board of Aldermen race that's going on. It is the race over, aldermanic seats are up as well. What's happening over in the 26th Ward?
Oh, in the 26th Ward, it's getting downright dirty nasty. H. Lee Willis, there have been allegations about his criminal background. And so I went to pick up my mom, who lives in the 26th Ward, and she hands me this pink flyer with a picture of Lee Willis, you know, behind bars and allegedly listing all of his, you know, listing his alleged criminal activity. And it, I mean, it's considerable.
Convictions as well as arrests.
Convictions as well as arrests, allegedly, because I don't know whether or not that's true. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at who put it out, of course, it just says the concerned citizens of the 26th Ward.
And I think it's that race is such an interesting one because that is, again, is in the 26th Ward. And I talked a little bit about this last week. The rumor out there, the political rumor out there that Jeff Smith is planning on moving to the 26th Ward in anticipation for taking on Lacey Clay for the first congressional first congressional seat. Also, the 26th Ward is one of the places where Jeff Smith got a few more votes than he did in any other black ward. So, and it's also my understanding that I've been contacted by Jeff Smith H. Lee Willis's campaign director, who also was a campaign director for Jeff Smith, and I had asked about a connection with Jeff Smith, and he said that there was none. And what is interesting is that I've come to find out that H. Lee Willis knocked on doors for Jeff Smith in the 26th Ward in the senatorial race, and also that Jeff Smith had arranged for a fundraiser for H. Lee Willis. And it's just interesting to me, and it speaks to that whole contempt thing that you and I have talked about with Jeff Smith, that someone that has this kind of a background, that has this kind of stuff, is good enough for the community of African descent, because I guess Jeff Smith wants to, and also Jeff Smith appeared at a ward meeting. Now, a state senator appearing at a ward meeting without contacting the
Frank Williamson, who's the present alderman.
Exactly. So he showed up, and it just so happened that H. Lee Willis's people were there as well. You know, so it speaks to, for me, it speaks to the contempt, the continuing contempt that Jeff Smith expresses about people of African descent.
The point of it is he thinks that he knows what's best.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's best.
Mm-hmm. And that's contempt. That to me, that's a contemptuous thing. So we have that. So we have that percolated. So there's going to be some energy going on in the 26th Ward. let's move to the school issue for a second. We're going to flip back again to the upcoming elections. I've gotten a lot of calls all this week about comments that Congressman Clay were he was quoted in the St. Louis American, and also there was an article in the Post about his position on the state takeover. And the quote in the St. Louis American said, listed him as saying, something, it's dysfunctional, something needs to be done. Interpreting that as, well, then you're saying that there needs to be a state takeover.
And I mean, when I read it, to me it was implicit that, you know, the something is the state takeover, because you have been silent all of this time.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things have been going on. I think when I was still in office, Congressman Clay called one meeting after people insisted. And people came to the meeting. Then the next meeting he called, it was only three people that showed up. But we have not heard from the congressman all of this time relative to the school board issue. We have not heard him insisting on certain things, that certain policies, established policies.
Weighing in on this. This is huge. Because
it is. It's tremendous.
This is a tremendous, tremendous thing. We have the state of Missouri saying that it makes sense in the middle of a school year, when babies are applying to colleges, getting their scholarships, we're going to swoop down in the middle of a school year and take away the full accreditation completely from this district, therefore possibly determining whether or not some kids are going to be going to college. And Lacey Clay is silent on this.
He's silent on it. And then, you know, the audacity of Ken King to say and to take a position on saying that the schools should be, the public schools should be taken over by the state. And this is the man who issued the waiver to Roberti. We did not see the congressman weighing in on this issue at this time. And that's why a lot of people are really kind of offended at this point by the congressman coming out saying that something has to be done.
And I'm looking at a letter, Irene, dated it November 30th, 2004. It's a letter sent to, remember him, Bob Holden, the former governor of the state of Missouri. And it's a letter signed by Francis Slay. It's a letter signed by Lacey Clay, Charlie Dooley, and Russ Carnahan, asking that the urgency of releasing the funds, or releasing the funds being withheld from the St. Louis voluntary DSEG program. We ask that you do everything in your power to honor the legally binding commitment that our state signed under the 1999 settlement of the DSEG case and the release of these vital funds. So he's weighing in 2004 as a congressman on an issue with the St. Louis Public Schools with the governor. So there is a track record of him. I mean, a touchable track record of him doing this. And I got a call from Daryl Piggy on Tuesday after the on Monday after the show, saying that no, the congressman is not in support of a state takeover. I'm going to get you a statement. It's Thursday. I don't have a statement.
I mean, because it's my understanding that there were behind-the-scenes deals being made in terms of the congressman weighing in on with the governor and with Shrewsbury, anticipating that he would win, weighing in that Shrewsbury would name a particular African-American that the congressman recommended. So at this point, for the congressman not to be coming out and speaking out against a state takeover and speaking out against the St. Louis Board of Education receiving just their due process in this situation, to me is very heavy in view of the fact that when the mayor wanted release of funds so that his raiders could be paid and could be compensated adequately, then you send a letter to the governor. But in a situation such as this, where 1,200 people showed up in freezing weather to speak out against a state takeover, then the congressman has not said anything other than an article and a letter that most people, you know, who can read between the lines, would conclude that he was in favor of a state takeover. And if he is not in favor of a state takeover, considering the amount of staff that he has, surely someone could draft a statement for him to issue to say that he is opposed to a state takeover.
It is. It is absolutely indefensible to not have taken a position as critical as this one. And also the fact that this is about the city of St. Louis. It's about the city of St. Louis public schools. You have a responsibility to weigh in on this and take the hits if you want to. Say I'm for the state takeover, but don't throw the rock or no, go gather the rock and hoard the rock and then hide your hand on this. You have to take a position, a clearly articulated position. Either you are for or you are against. And here's the piece that is the most obscene to me. In his silence on this issue, he is saying that it is cool with him that elected positions no longer be effective. I mean, that to take away people's right to vote for their school board members. He's saying that a United States congressman, a Democratic congressman, is saying, I'm cool with eliminating people's right to vote.
And that's consistent with the Republican position.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's consistent with the Republican. And incidentally, I'm saying this, I'm not interested in running against Lacey Clay, Mr. Davis, but this is just, it's unfortunate. And it really speaks to what many of our elected officials think about our community. You know, they come to us when they need our vote, but when we need them to weigh in on the issue, they're nowhere to be found.
We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is Eye on the Lou. You need to get to me. Stay with us. Know the place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
A weekly newspaper is reporting that Jeffrey Boyd is acting like Slay's boy. You decide if it's true.
Jeffrey Boyd sponsored a bill that would have stripped Darlene Green of most of her power.
Jeffrey Boyd supports Slay and the Republican request to a state takeover of our schools.
Jeffrey Boyd helped Slay to deny 22nd Ward voters their right to a recall election by using political intimidation.
Jeffrey Boyd gave the 22nd Ward's free home repair grant money to Catholic charity.
Jeffrey Boyd has made promises he has not kept.
Does he sound like Francis Slay's boy?
What do you think?
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your health care needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Randy Graham. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Graham, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Lewis at the Posting Board.
Yep. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. I want to get to a couple of callers or so, and then we're going to get to some of these endorsements out here. Interesting, interesting, interesting world of endorsement with the president of the Board of Aldermen race. Craig, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. And good morning, Irene.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good.
That's great.
I wanted to say that I agree with you, Irene. The intensity doesn't seem to be there. The intensity needed.
Mm-hmm.
For this election that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that everyone listening will know that we got to get out there because this man, Shrewsbury, he has contempt for us.
He really does. And what's very obscene to me about the literature that's coming in, particularly with the children, I mean, it just really made me kind of boil. Because when I was on the Board of Aldermen, I had a policy of recognizing kids who had improved in school. Not necessarily A, but kids who had improved with their conduct, with their attendance. And so I brought them down to the board. I can recall the kids from Mark Twain School. I brought them down. Kids were so mannerable. And apparently, I don't know, it didn't get on Shrewsbury's schedule that the kids were going to be there or whatever. So people were moving around to give the children seats. And I mean, he went off. I mean, he went off in front of the kids as if, I didn't know about this. What are they doing? You know, what are they doing down here? And so I just kind of checked him and said, you know, when other kids of other different hue, and I meant Caucasian kids or white kids that come down there, you haven't said anything, even though the kids have been all over the place, as sometimes children will do. And so that kid is kind of, you know, it's an insult. Then when I think about the fact that in the 2002 budget, when Slay cut over $250,000 out of the recreation budget, Shrewsbury voted right with him, and it wasn't until the budget went to the Ways and Means Committee. At that time, Lewis Reed was vice chair of the committee, and we were able to put together a north-south side coalition to work to put that money back in the budget. Shrewsbury didn't stand up to put that money back. So if you're concerned about our children, you understand the value of structured recreational activities. Again, when Slay in the 2000 budget took a move to contract out city jobs to private industries such as the Marshalls, and Darlene made an effort to put them back in the budget, she couldn't even get a second from Jim Shrewsbury to do that. And it wasn't until those the budget came over to Ways and Means that we were able, Lewis Reed working with us, to put that money back in the line item that said it would be for city employees and not for private individuals to provide the security for City Hall. And you just go on and on and on. And you look at the ballpark, BJC deal. Now, here's a deal that was an opportunity for Shrewsbury to exhibit leadership. Did he do that? No. He just voted against it and said, I'm against giving away parkland, even though you had already previously voted for another park over in the south side of the city to sell that. But then here you have a situation that's going to benefit North St. Louis, and what does Shrewsbury do? He votes against it.
Well, it's a little bit, I mean, in addition to that, not only did he vote against it, but he took out an ad in a Southside Journal bragging about the fact that he voted against it and he killed all of those things, that he killed the extra trauma center that would be in North St. Louis as a result of this BJC deal, that he killed the improvements for the parks in Northside St. Louis as a result of his vote. So it's not, I mean, he is clear in his position and he's clear in his intent, which makes it even, again, the word contempt keeps coming up, but the same type of contempt that he has for us, and then the galling piece of it to see those black babies being used to tell a lie, a huge lie about this awful, awful politician in terms of the things that he does and the terms of the things that he directs them to. I mean, this is the same dude that wouldn't vote for, I mean, who wouldn't offer a prayer for a white colleague whose son was in the hospital for brain surgery because he was mad at her for endorsing Lewis Reed. So we have a person that is really a twisted kind of an individual.
It really is. I mean, he is very, he's a, He's a vindictive individual. But not only that, the leadership that Lewis showed as vice chair of the Ways and Means Committee. Many of my friends have asked me, why are you supporting Lewis? And I supported him because there were issues, and there were budgetary issues that didn't impact Lewis Reed's ward whatsoever when we were on Ways and Means together. Yet, Lewis took positions. He voted with us. He voted with the Black Caucus. There was never a caucus issue, Black Caucus issue, that Lewis Reed did not support because it was a fairness issue. It was about what was fair. You know, when the city was looking to rename fire chief, it was Lewis Reed who wrote the first letter to have Sherman George appointed as a fire chief for the city of St. Louis. And so when I look at who has the best opportunity to provide better leadership for this, for the automatic board, the legislative body of this city, is Lewis Reed. And then when you look at Shrewsbury on this ballpark village thing, called a special session to make sure that it got done, to not give the people an opportunity to weigh in on what was going on, again, backroom deals.
And let's talk about some of these endorsements here, because it's interesting that the St. Louis Post-Dispatch has endorsed Lewis Reed. And the interesting thing to me is a couple of things. Shrewsbury has a 24 years of sometimes plodding but honest and diligent service. Mr. Breed is bright, engaging, and capable. And a capable politician who would help bridge the racial gap in city politics. The choice is a close one, but the recommendation here is that the voters choose Lewis E. Reed. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is that he said that Lewis Reed would have the support of Slay when we, and the votes that Slay would get. But look at this record of Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury votes, and I've seen the records, you've seen the records, of where you look at the actual votes that were taken in the board of E&A, and Shrewsbury votes with Slay 98% to 99% to 100% of the time.
Of course he does. And then I go back, because the 2000 budget was a budget in which Slay was making an effort to contract out a lot of city jobs. Darlene, in her effort to put, you know, city money back in for city employees when the mayor was trying to combat, Shrewsbury wouldn't even give her a second. So to say that Shrewsbury stands up against Slay, look at the big issue, Ballpark Village, special session. Who? Shrewsbury called the special session. Shrewsbury, well, who did he vote with? He voted with Slay.
And he didn't
vote with Darlene. These are the big issues.
And the other piece of this is that I'm looking at the Southside Journal's endorsement. The Southside Journal's endorsement gave Shrewsbury the headline that he needs for his advertising. Voters should retain Shrewsbury as automatic president. The Post didn't give that to Lewis. They said four automatic presidents, so they're not going to be able to pull that headline and use it in any kind of literature. But the fascinating line to me in the Southside endorsement, again, it's not a full kiss on the lips from the Southside Journal. It says that Reed has a vision for St. Louis that cannot be accomplished from aldermanic chambers. Reed's vision is better suited for the mayor's office. Shrewsbury should be retained as aldermanic president. Huh? I mean, that's got to hurt Shrewsbury in a couple of ways. First, it's saying that it's not giving him a clear, hard support, but then saying that Reed would be better for the job that Shrewsbury wants. I mean, that's got to hurt. That's got to hurt.
You know, not only that, but to me it demonstrates the leadership portion. Because when you really look at the Board of Aldermen, it to a large extent, it does not function as a legislative body. Mm-hmm. And so you got to start with the head.
Yeah, you do.
If the head is not demonstrating.
Or insisting.
Insisting that this operate as a legislative body and that you truly weigh in on decisions. That was the reason why we have an ENA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the president of the board should be weighing in more than he is. He is not exercising the leadership that should be exercised.
He's a rubber stamp.
He's a rubber stamp. And that's the reason why Lewis Reed is no longer on Ways and Means. He took Lewis Reed off of Ways and Means because Lewis was using his position as vice chair of Ways and Means to help weigh in on and be fair in issues for all of St. Louis.
And that's going to be the last Eye on the Lou before the election on Tuesday. We'll be back on next Thursday to talk about the election results.
Get out and vote. Take everybody to get out and vote.
Absolutely. And there's some kind of function going on at the Northside office this weekend. Okay, we're going to get people out and we're going to get people to hold signs up. We're going to be doing a whole lot of stuff this weekend, folks. We have a whole lot of work to be done before this next election. You know what's coming up next? Justice for Reggie with Jamala Rogers. I'm Liz Brown. Thanks, Irene. I will be back. Stay with me.
The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can
this but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many.
For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The treatment many service members got at a clinic at Walter Reed Army Hospital was hardly fitting an American hero. The government says it was shocked to learn of the conditions, but ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey says the feds probably shouldn't have been surprised.
Top Pentagon officials said they were astonished and dismayed when reports of shoddy conditions at Building 18 surfaced. Army Surgeon General Kevin Kiley said the story, which first appeared in the Washington Post, was overblown.
It was a one-sided representation.
But now the Post reports officials at Walter Reed and Kiley himself have known about patient complaints of neglect for more than 3 years. Complaints, the Post says, came from family members, veterans groups, and even members of Congress. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Two pilots were hurt when their Army helicopter made a hard landing in northern Iraq. The military says it was a mechanical problem. The U.S. Today also announced the death of a Marine in combat yesterday, one of 79 American deaths in Iraq in February. President Bush is heading to the Gulf Coast today. First stop, Biloxi, Mississippi, to talk to state and local officials about the post-Katrina recovery.
It has been half a year since President Bush visited the Gulf Coast. Where there are no schools, there is no incentive for families to return. President Bush visits a charter school in New Orleans and has lunch with local officials to talk about reconstruction.
ABC's Ann Compton at Andrews Air Force Base. A car crash is expensive, even if it's just the kind that's like, say, a fender bender in a parking lot.
They were doing these tests at 3 to 6 miles per hour, and yet some of these cars sustained major damage, up to $9,000 worth of repairs needed after 4 different tests that they tried.
And that's ABC's Elizabeth Leamy with more on the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety Tests. Thinking about buying a new car, Consumer Reports magazine suggests you think Japanese for the second time in 10 years. Models made by Japan's car makers top the magazine's top 10. This is ABC News.
Look, there, high on the shelf of your favorite drugstore. It's Maximum Strength Pepcid AC. It has the power to rescue you from the worst heartburn. Nothing is stronger and faster than Maximum Strength Pepcid AC at blocking tough stomach acid, not even Zantac. So feel free, eat, drink, be happy, and stop worrying about heartburn. Get Maximum Strength Pepcid AC. So effective, it's guaranteed or your money back. Visit PepsidGuarantee.com for more information. Use only as directed.
Top 3 reasons my house is getting a makeover. Number 3, once upon a time I had beige carpets. Then I had boys. Number 2, somehow my oven can heat an entire kitchen, but only half a pie. And number 1, I can take the after photos before I have to pay for it.
Right now, get special deferred financing on purchases store-wide with your Home Depot or Expo Consumer Credit Card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through March 7th in U.S. only. See store for details.
The music industry is ready to cut a deal with wayward college students who have been illegally downloading music. Pay now or pay later. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
Fergie is popular with the college crowd, but students who download her music may want to make sure they do it legally. The recording industry is sending computer users at 13 universities an offer. Pay fines right now or face expensive lawsuits.
We think this is good for us. We want to send the right message and encourage fans to enjoy music legally, but it's also advantageous for both the school and the student.
Recording Industry Association spokesman Jonathan Lamy says it's not an idle threat. His group is serious about filing the lawsuits. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
So you say you know all about your new high-definition TV. Think again. A recent survey says almost half of the 24 million households with HD TV don't actually watch high-def programs because they haven't gotten the necessary hardware from the cable, phone, or satellite operator. And about half of them don't realize it. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the accused kidnapper of Sean Hornbeck and Ben Ownby was indicted yesterday. 41-year-old Michael Devlin of Kirkwood was indicted by a Franklin County grand jury on one count of child kidnapping and one count of armed criminal action in the Ben Ownby case. He is scheduled to be arraigned via closed-circuit TV next week. If convicted on both charges, he could face life in prison. Devlin also faces kidnapping charges in Washington County in connection with Sean Hornbeck's abduction. He is being held in the Franklin County Jail in Union on $1 million bond. A Wellston light bulb plant is closing after nearly a century. Yesterday, 175 employees at General Electric's light bulb plant went to work for the last time. The company is closing the plant because of the decreasing demand for soft white bulbs. GE says that consumers are moving toward more energy-efficient fluorescent and halogen bulbs. Some workers are getting severance packages while others are taking early retirement. Finally this hour, the Cardinals got a visit from a special guest on Tuesday. Professional wrestler Kurt Angle stopped by the Cards training camp as a guest of shortstop and wrestling fan David Eckstein. Angle even took batting practice with members of the team and got a chance to meet star first baseman Albert Pujols. Several of the Redbirds are planning to attend the NWA TNA wrestling show in St. Louis in April, where Angle is scheduled to appear. When asked if Eckstein would ever step into a wrestling ring, manager Tony La Russa said that's not likely. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Eastbound 70 at Cave Springs and Zumbel. Look for an accident at Zumbel resulting in slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70. Slow traffic in the exit lanes getting on to 70. Northbound 55 from Arsenal through 44. Expect some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into the landing. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the PSB looks good. Westbound 270 from 367 for Graham Hanley. Expect some slow traffic up in North County. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. And then again for 141 from Mason, you expect delays. Northbound 367 at Parker and St. Louis. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Doherty Ferry. You got some slow traffic going on. Eastbound 70 from Bryan through 79. Look for some delays. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for some slowdowns there as well. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some slowdowns. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270, look for a bit of a heavy volume there. Northbound 270, Clayton Overpass into Ladue Road. Then again around 70, you can expect delays there as well. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270, look for some slowdowns around the 270 exchange. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at the forecast for today, tomorrow.
I'm Bill
and four.
Okay, heated
Saturday.
Cloth seats, all new
for today, look forward to
available.
A tornado watch in effect until noon today. Otherwise, very windy, mostly cloudy, occasional showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Some storms may be severe with large hail and damaging winds. The highs will be in the lower 60s, but falling into the 40s by the afternoon. The southwest winds will be around 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour. And the chance of rain is 80%. This evening, windy, much colder, mostly cloudy till early morning, becoming partly cloudy with a low around 30.
Never miss your favorite shows.
Friday, blustery,
DDR
cooler, partly
Dish
cloudy
Network.
In the morning,
introducing Dish DDR Advantage, the two-room DDR comes standard. Plus, get over 200
cloudy,
channels, three standard professional
Saturday,
installation, and 3 free months of HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, or Stars Movie Pack.
Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees, cloudy skies, land and fields reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. What's up next is Jessica Ferretti with Molly Rogers and Liz Brown. That's on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
seats. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome. This is Liz Brown, and of course it is Thursday at 8 a.m. That means it's time for Justice for Reggie, and I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How,
good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, and you?
I'm very good. I'm very good. We have a lot to talk about today. Tell us what we're going to be talking about.
Well, later on in the hour, we'll be talking with Dave Elliott, who's with the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, to get a sense of what's going on around the country with moratorium efforts, because we are making a big push this session in our legislation to push a couple of bills that we lobbied for last week. But, you know, we really want to get into the role of the police as it relates to cases like Reggie Clemens. And for those people who came to see Race to Execution last week, they noted that one of those cases was a police brutality forced confession case. So it is extremely critical that when we look at our justice system, that we start with the first point of contact with most of these defendants, and that is the police department. And in this case, we have a police department that we have no control over at all, because it's one of two cities in the whole country that are still under state jurisdiction. And so people need to understand that, need to understand the barriers that that poses for us to be able to engage in any kind of change in policy, influence, or whatever around this very resistant police department. And, you know, when we come back from the break, I'd like to talk about, we went up yesterday to testify at a hearing for a local control bill that was being introduced by Senator Maida Coleman. So it's some interesting things that are going on. We, you know, we heard about some surprise things yesterday.
Let's hold that thought. Let's hold that thought. We're going to take a break. I am talking to Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us. That Jeffrey Boyd is acting like Slade's boy. You decide if it's true.
Jeffrey Boyd sponsored a bill that would have stripped Darlene Green of most of her power.
Jeffrey Boyd supports Slay and the Republican request to a state takeover of our schools.
Jeffrey Boyd helped Slay to deny 22nd Ward voters their right to a recall election by using political intimidation.
Jeffrey Boyd gave the 22nd Ward's free home repair grant money to Catholic charities.
Jeffrey Boyd has made promises he has not kept.
Does he sound like Francis Slade's boy?
What do you think?
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelium Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m., on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
I am a parent, and I live in the city of St. Louis. There is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children, and not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Lewis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Lewis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by the committee to elect Lewis Reed, Thomas Shepard, treasurer.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. And before we go any further, I need to thank our sponsor for Justice for Reggie, Church of God in Christ, Bishop Ward. We appreciate you so much for your financial support to keep this show on the air, because if it's an important message, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. And Jamala, you're talking about what happened up in Jefferson City with the effort to, for the city of St. Louis to regain control of their own police department.
Yes, and I want to again remind people that it was because a beating by Chris Pappas and Detective Walsh that Reggie was finally forced to confess. Those are the same people that beat Marlon Gray. So we have here the methodology that's generally used by police departments to that's their version of solving a crime.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the hell out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that in Race to Execution last year. And not only last week, I mean, and not only in that case was that brother beat, but they found out that the police station in Chicago was notorious for mm-hmm. doing this.
Still
and
is.
Most
Still
of
is.
The folks who were exonerated by Ryan came out of that station.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a problem. This is a problem. And one of the things here we've been really trying to get people to understand is, you know, that we don't have local control, and so the governor is the one who gets to make the decisions about our police department, despite the fact that, you know, one-third of their budget is the city budget that we pay for. So myself, John Chasnoff with the Coalition for Police Crimes and Repression, and Reddick Hudson from the ACLU came to Jeff City to testify for the bill. Also testifying against the bill was head of the St. Louis Police Officers Association and a couple of other pro-police folks. And I thought what was interesting...
Testified against the bill.
Against local control. And in fact, the head of the St. Louis Police Officers Association said St. Louis was not, this is a quote, is not ready for local control.
Now, if that's not the most racist,
not
racist,
ready.
Racist statement.
And I'm thinking, when will we get ready? And of course, he doesn't have to explain that statement. He's just testifying, and they can ask questions if they want to the committee members. And then he goes on to say, we're doing a great job. And he points out the reason that they can say that is because when you look at the number of complaints by citizens and the complaints by officers themselves of each other, the officers' complaints far outweigh citizens' complaints.
Huh?
And we found this out when we did the local here in Liz. This is very amazing.
Huh?
So, for example, if I'm a police officer and I make a complaint about you that...
Me as a citizen?
No, as another officer.
Okay.
You my fellow officer. And say you...
Use the N-word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then that complaint gets processed. And so there were more of those complaints. This is not a whole lot of complaints, but more of those were processed and resolved than citizens' complaint. Now, he failed to say that most citizens can't even file a complaint. There's no process that people feel comfortable with, so therefore you wouldn't even be able to compare external, internal. He didn't even get into that. He just says, we're so good, we police ourselves, and the citizens' complaints are so low that they love us. So that is an essence, and that's why we try to get people to file complaints, because this is what they use to justify why they're doing a great job, because there's no complaints.
But that's not the measure. That's not even the measurement of why there should be local control. I mean, that shouldn't even be on the table in terms of a discussion of why every city should control its own dang budget. Every city should be able to have the process to get to an entity that is within their city and governs an institution that governs in their city without having to take a trip up to Jefferson City to get anything done. You know, irrespective of that. And who is it to say that those two things, those two measurements of internal versus external complaints are accurate? We can never get to that as long as we have to go to the state to find out if you're telling the truth about that.
And then sometimes you can't even find out. So one of the things that John Chasnoff told him is that when we were looking at the civilian oversight bill and we were looking around the country for best practices in terms of a process, a number of them we couldn't even implement because we were state controlled. So every time you got to keep going back to state legislature to change stuff. And it's just a really cumbersome project. The other thing that was interesting is that there was...
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I just thought of something as you're talking. So I got to hold that thought while I let mine out here. When the cops said they're not ready for local control,
What does that mean in this context, or does it mean in this context that if the city of St. Louis were to gain control of their police department, does it mean then they would then have the power to investigate or to create a civilian review board? And is that what they're referring to in terms of they're not ready for that, or is it we're not ready to have to deal with them once they get that power? Because that's really what it comes down to. If you put the and in all fairness, I understand that, because he's saying that if you put the power in the hands of people who question us, who want people to be lawful, then we're not going to be able to. That's like the burglar saying, you know, I don't think that the city of St. Louis is ready for burglary first or burglary second charges, anything like that. They're not ready for that yet. Of course, you would say that as the burglar, but those that are the victims of the burglar understand that there need to be laws against people who want to burgle your home.
I actually saw it having a double-edged meaning, Liz, because I felt like it was so racist.
Oh, it is.
Because when you look at the fact that in Missouri, the only two cities that don't have local control are the ones with the highest
black
population. So that alone ought to make people stand up and pay attention.
But it's just like it goes back to when I was trying cases for the public defender's office, special public defender's office. Why did Buzz Resfall, may he rot wherever he is right now, why did he always strike black people off the jury? And that's the same mentality. He knew that black people on the jury would ask questions of the police department that white folks would not ask. It's that same. So this is one of those same types of things. We don't want black people to be in charge of this stuff because they would hold us accountable.
Well, the other thing that to me it said was that these folks are incapable of governing themselves, so therefore somebody outside of the process has to do that.
Absolutely.
And so,
absolutely. It's all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely. Mm-hmm. The foundation of it all is racism.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just vibing off of the hundreds and hundreds of years of the black people subhuman and white mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. human type of
mm-hmm.
thing.
But they thought they had a little 1-2 punch because another guy who called himself the St. Louis Police Leadership Group, which I never heard of, comes in and uses the Post-Dispatch article on the Homeland Security mock experiment they did to see how all the agencies work together, and he used that as a way to say this is the reason why we don't need to be under local control. The fire department is under local control, and yet they stood out as not being ready for this kind of, you know, experiment, this kind of attack or whatever, because it was a thing where all of them had to work together and have a central command. And if you remember, the Post-Dispatch was critical, or for whatever reason something happened and they really criticized the fire department.
Something is Sherman George.
Right. So he reads it verbatim to say we were applauded for our efforts in this experiment and the fire department wasn't. So, again, justifying why they don't need to be under.
Then everybody needs them to be under state control if that's the case.
Well, that was interesting because that's exactly what one of the committee members said. So then are you saying that the fire department needs to be under state control? And then he kind of nervously laughed. But really, when you say those kinds of things, they have some logical mm-hmm. conclusions or some logical processes. But I just thought that was so interesting.
It's really twisted. And it shows now, understand that these are the same people that are going into the courtrooms all over the city of St. Louis testifying on the stand. Now, if they can contort reality, and if they have that contempt for black people, that they, for people of African descent, that they would say they're not ready for governance, know how they act when they get on the stand and they swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, know the lies that are coming out of their mouths when they have this kind of contempt for the citizens that live here.
But what you couldn't say that most of us know here, and some of those out-of-state folks don't know, which is why they don't need to be making decisions for us in this way, is that Chief George has not been able to do due diligence because of the interference of the city's mayor. So the kind of sabotage and stuff that he's had to go through is because of the interference. He's not been able to proceed on as if he's head of that department. And so all of these things come into fact in terms of why people are not able to do their job. But it was just interesting the rationale that they used in both of those speakers that really had nothing to do with the need for a local control of the police department.
But they were also relying upon the understanding. You know, we here with friends up here in Jefferson City, y'all know it's nothing but black folks down there. Y'all know that they ain't red. I mean, they were relying upon the hundreds of years of racism that preceded them to this hearing.
Right. So, and that's why we still have a situation that predates Civil War.
There you go.
You know, that we're the only city in the country.
That's right. That's right. And they talk about the Dred Scott decision, you know, that we have moved forward, we have processed forward after that. No, not when you have the police department going up to Jefferson City without shame, without concern, saying, oh, no, those black folks are not ready for governance.
Not
in the year 2007.
Not ready for local control.
We will be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Let's take a look at your traffic for this 8 o'clock hour. Eastbound 70 between K and 79. Look for that traffic to be easing. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. That slowdowns are starting to ease, but there's still some volume at mid-span. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry through Graham Hanley. Look for no problems to report. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, and then again from Maryville Center through Mason Road, you can expect no delays. Westbound 370 from Elm through Truman, there's an accident reported, a shoulder block that's at Truman Road. Eastbound 40 between Lake St. Louis and K, look for a tornado warning in effect for St. Charles and St. Louis counties until 8:45. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into the landing. Eastbound 40 between Boone Bridge all the way through Clarkson Valley. Look for no delays. Northbound 270 at 70. Look for some delays around that interchange. But other than that, everything looks good this morning. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Tornado watch is in effect until noon. Otherwise, very windy, mostly cloudy, with occasional showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Some storms may be severe with large hail and damaging winds. The highs will be in the lower 60s, but falling into the 40s by the afternoon. The winds will be 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour. The chance of rain is 80%. This evening, windy, much colder, mostly cloudy till early morning, partly cloudy then with a low around 30. For Friday, blustery, cooler, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day, high in the mid-40s. Friday evening, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s, and Saturday mostly cloudy with a high around 40. Currently, we have 62 degrees and overcast skies at the studios. Lambert Field is also reporting 62 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
A weekly newspaper is reporting that Jeffrey Boyd is acting like Slade's boy. You decide if it's true.
Jeffrey Boyd sponsored a bill that would have stripped Darlene Green of most of her power.
Jeffrey Boyd supports Slay and the Republican request to a state takeover of our schools.
Jeffrey Boyd helped Slay to deny 22nd Ward voters their right to a recall election by using political intimidation.
Jeffrey Boyd gave the 22nd Ward's free home repair grant money to Catholic charity.
Jeffrey Boyd has made promises he has not kept.
Does he sound like Francis Slay's boy?
What do you think?
For my business, I want to bank with ideas.
For my business, I want to bank with solutions.
That business bank is Heartland Bank, with innovative products and services and a knowledgeable staff to provide solutions.
I want a business bank that listens.
I want a business bank that responds.
That's Heartland, offering personal one-on-one attention with the responsiveness today's business world demands. Heartland means business. So call Heartland Bank today at 314-512-8888 to start your new business banking relationship. Heartland Bank is FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. And Jamala, shortly we will be talking to our guest, David Elliott. But I'd like to talk about something that kind of feeds itself into Reggie's case. One of the issues in this perfect storm of a death penalty case where everything possibly wrong that could go wrong did go wrong. One of the elements of that wrongness was legal representation, that he had horrible lawyers that he paid for to represent him. There's an issue going on here in the city of St. Louis that is not an issue that is not unfamiliar to other cities, the public defenders. The public defenders are now, it's a remarkable thing. They are saying that they may no longer take any more cases. Their caseload's up to somewhere in 305 cases that each public defender has. They're overworked. They cannot do it. And they're saying, you know what, we're not going to be able to take any new cases. And what that would do to the system, it matters whether or not people have the tools that they need to give effective representation. How could any one attorney, and I was a special public defender, I know this, I couldn't represent any of my clients the way that they need to be represented with a caseload of 305, and every day there's arraignments. So there are new cases coming in and things that need to be done. That's one of the issues, is good representation.
I'm not surprised that we've come to that kind of threshold. It's sad because then I don't know what's supposed to happen to the people who can't afford to get an attorney, and the Constitution requires that one be appointed to them, and who will that be? I mean, it's really amazing the kind of dilemma that we've gotten ourselves in.
And Missouri is, I think, ranked 47th in the nation.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
You know, so, So, and we have our guest with us, the Communications Director for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, David Elliott. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. David, good morning.
Well, good morning to you.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Outstanding. And I'm here with Jamala Rogers.
Good morning, Jamala.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
You know, David, we were talking about this issue of representation. That is one of the big issues when we are try to deconstruct what happened in these death penalty cases. Poor legal representation is one of the big issues, isn't it?
Absolutely. If you look at the cases of the approximately 123 people who have been sentenced to death, only later to have been found innocent, you find that ineffective assistance of counsel, poor lawyers, overworked lawyers, sometimes incompetent lawyers, is the number one issue when it comes to people wrongly being convicted and sentenced to death for crimes they didn't commit.
And you know, I guess this kind of gets us to maybe a discussion, too, about the whole thing of legal representation, period. Irrespective of your guilt or innocence, you are entitled to effective assistance of counsel.
Absolutely. You know, there was a famous Supreme Court case in the 1960s called Gideon versus Wainwright, in which the Supreme Court ruled that anyone brought forth on felony criminal charges is entitled to a lawyer. Well, the way that that issue has evolved, being entitled to a lawyer doesn't just mean being entitled to someone who is maybe asleep next to you or is barely breathing or something like that. It means being entitled to a competent lawyer.
And it's, you know, some folks I'm sure out there kind of giggled a little bit about the idea of an attorney being asleep, but some of these death penalties have had just that, and they've been upheld.
Exactly. An infamous case out of Texas called the sleeping attorney case, where the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said, well, yes, the lawyer fell asleep during this guy's trial, but it probably wouldn't have made an outcome in terms of the difference of a difference in the outcome of the trial. So yeah, it unfortunately it really happens.
David, where are we in 2007 with respect to taking a measurement of the sentiment about the death penalty? Is it a little different than it was in 2006? Is it a little different than it was in 2005?
Change is coming, and you know, if you look at everything out there, the death penalty is withering on the vine. We had fewer executions last year than we have had in a decade. We had fewer death sentences handed down than we have had in a decade. For the first time ever, a Gallup poll found that more Americans favor life without parole than favor the death penalty. And right now, as we speak, we have almost a dozen states where there is a moratorium on executions because of controversy over the lethal injection process. California, which has the largest death row population, has a moratorium. So does Florida, which has the third largest death row population. So one can say literally from coast to coast, there is a moratorium on executions because of this controversy.
How about attitudes within prosecution offices? Are we seeing a change in the nation about whether or not, because it starts with the prosecuting attorney, are they issuing the same amounts of death penalty cases?
District attorneys in fewer and fewer cases are willing to seek the death penalty. They know that jurors are becoming more educated about wrongful convictions. They also know the exorbitant cost of a death penalty trial. Many venues, many jurisdictions have gone bankrupt because of the extra amount of money it takes to seek a death sentence.
So is that simply a response to that, or are there attitudinal changes about the death penalty in itself? Are we seeing some evidence of just basic, you know, this is just not right type of attitudes change?
I think among Americans overall, you are seeing, you know, sort of people throwing up their hands and saying, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a more sensible way. I'm not sure that you're necessarily seeing that same sentiment on a widespread basis among prosecutors, but certainly among rank-and-file, ordinary working Americans, you're seeing that.
I wonder if there's been anyone out there that has kind of kept track of the issues that because a lot of states have judges that run for office and that are elected, and a lot of them have used their position on the death penalty as one of the big sellers, you know, to bring it on home, to get elected by saying that you're extra, you will kill everybody that's brought before you, basically. Is there any evidence out there, David, that we're seeing that being used a little less in order to propel people into office, judges into office?
Well, you know, I can tell you that it was once thought, in fact, throughout the 1980s and through the 1990s, it was thought that the death penalty as a political issue was what we call the third rail of American politics. Mm. Touch it and you get burned. But now, in the last couple of elections, we have seen evidence that that is no longer so. Maryland has elected an anti-death penalty governor.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Manhattan, a district attorney who was anti-death penalty was challenged by a pro-death penalty challenger. He won. Virginia, a conservative state, has elected an anti-death penalty governor. So change is coming.
Yes, they are. Yes, it is. We're talking to David Elliott, Communications Director for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. Stay with us. The place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to reelect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Reelect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
A weekly newspaper is reporting that Jeffrey Boyd is acting like Slade's boy. You decide if it's true.
Jeffrey Boyd sponsored a bill that would have stripped Darlene Green of most of her power.
Jeffrey Boyd supports Slay and the Republican request to a state takeover of our schools.
Jeffrey Boyd helped Slay to deny 22nd Ward voters their right to a recall election by using political intimidation.
Jeffrey Boyd gave the 22nd Ward's free home repair grant money to Catholic charities.
Jeffrey Boyd has made promises he has not kept.
Does he sound like Francis Slay's boy?
What do you think?
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers, and David Elliott is joining us from Washington, D.C. He is the Communications Director for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty.
And I'm wondering, David, there are some states who actually have legislated the moratorium into law, and obviously there's others who sort of have this court-imposed moratorium like Missouri does based on the challenges to the lethal injection. How many of them now have actual legislative moratoriums?
There actually is only one state at the moment, New Jersey, where a moratorium has passed through the legislature, although, of course, the state that's next to you, Illinois, has a moratorium that was enacted by the governor that is now in its seventh year, 7 years of no executions in Illinois. There are a number of other states that are debating bills to abolish the death penalty altogether. In fact, we've seen bills to abolish the death penalty pass out of committee in four states already this year. Those states are Colorado, Montana, New Mexico, and now I'm blanking on the fourth one. It'll come to me in a minute. We're also going to see repeal bills move forward in Connecticut and Maryland and probably toward the end of the year, New Jersey. So here we are. It's the first day of March, and already there has been more activity in the state legislatures on the issue of the death penalty than during any year in modern history.
Wow. I was reading an article today about Cindy Sheehan. Cindy Sheehan is supposed to go before a Senate hearing and testify against the war. And one of the senators had said that they wanted to have somebody to speak in support of the war. And they had gone to a number of different organizations, veterans organizations, et cetera. And he couldn't find anybody to come and to sit next to Cindy Sheehan. And it wasn't about Cindy Sheehan, but to articulate the position and advocacy of this war. And I'm wondering, with respect to the death penalty, are we seeing less types of people or organizational efforts in support of the death penalty? Are those as prevalent or as visible as they once were?
Well, you know, it's funny, and I'll tell you a little story. I got a call a couple of weeks ago from an organization in Washington, D.C., that brings high school students to D.C. to study various issues, and they were studying the death penalty. And they invited me to participate in a debate on the death penalty in front of 50 or 60 high school students. So I said, of course, I'd be happy to do that. Then just the other day, they called me back, and they were very apologetic, and they said, we can't find anybody to speak for the other side. Can you suggest anybody?
Can you suggest it?
I give them a couple of names of people who I've debated before, and they haven't gotten back to me, so I don't know if those people have said yes. But, you know, the answer to your question is the organized opposition on the other side of this issue seems to be falling by the wayside. I don't know where they are.
And Jamala, you even have a story about that with the event that happened last week at the movie that was shown.
Yeah, we did a pre-screening of Race to Execution, which will air on the 27th on PBS. And one of the opposing voices to the execution moratorium was a former senator, and after he watched the movie, he seemed to have muddled his view on executions, and we couldn't tell whether he was for or against, and we really had to like question him several times if that was his view, and when it boiled down to it, he really said only in the most narrowest of circumstances, I mean, will I support it. So even right there on the stand, he really,
after seeing
this powerful movie, he could not voice or articulate support for the death penalty.
And that kind of speaks to the larger issue, doesn't it, David, of when people are given the facts about the death penalty, how they understand where we're coming from in terms of abolishing the death penalty.
Well, sure. We like to say that support for the death penalty in this country is a mile wide but only an inch deep.
Mm.
And what we mean by that is if you sit down can have a discussion with the people, like we're having a discussion this morning, people wake up, understand the facts, and they start to think, you know what, I think I support the death penalty in principle, but gosh, the more I learn about the way that it's being implemented and the horrible mistakes that are made and the innocent people who are on death row, I can't believe this is happening, not in my country.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because Representative Deacon, who is the Republican introducing House Bill 445
here in Missouri,
said the exact same thing. He said, if I was on a jury and I gave someone the death penalty, and he's somebody that's for the death penalty, and 5 years later I found out that I had agreed to execute the wrong person, he said, I could never forgive myself for the rest of my life, and I'd have to live with that. And I don't think that's something that any prospective juror would want to have to endure.
And, you know, now we hear about cases like Larry Griffin out of Missouri, or Carlos de Luna out of Texas, or Ruben Cantu out of Texas, Cameron Todd Willingham out of Texas, people who have been executed, and now their cases are going back and being reexamined because there's a real concern that those four individuals were innocent.
And when you're talking to people right now. Imagine if you're talking to somebody right now about the death penalty. What are give us a handful of reasons why there are problems with the death penalty.
Well, to me, the first problem, first and foremost, is that way too often, all too often, we are convicting innocent people. And, you know, I like to watch football on Sundays when it's football season. During football season, you have something called instant replay. You know, if an official makes an error, then it's reviewed. But when it comes to the death penalty, there are no do-overs. You can't unexecute someone. You can't unring that bell. So first and foremost, the problem is that we are sending innocent people to death row. Second, it costs millions and millions of dollars to pursue a death penalty case above and beyond the cost of life without parole. This money could be reinvested in our communities. We could put it in anti-gang violence programs. We could put it in drug abuse programs, programs to stop domestic violence, real programs that would help us be safer in our communities, would help our families be safer. And, you know, if you've lost a loved one to violence, you know the importance of, you know, investing at the early end to try to prevent that terrible, terrible thing from happening. So those are two of the first and foremost reasons that I talk about. A, we're convicting innocent people. B, we can't afford it. It's too expensive.
And when we look at the death penalty across the country, how do we measure up to other nations out there?
Well, about 60% of the nations around the world have abolished the death penalty. Every nation in Europe, in South America, in Central America, in Canada has abolished the death penalty. We are in the company of Saudi Arabia, Iran, and China as the country, one of the countries that executes the most people.
Predictions, David Elliott. When do you see the end of the death penalty for the United States?
It's not really a question of whether we're going to abolish the death penalty, but when. Is it going to be 5 years from now, or is it going to be 10 years from now? I'm not quite sure, but I think it's going to be in the 5 to 10 year range.
David Elliott, Communications Director for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, thank you so much.
Well, thank you all for having me on this morning.
Thank you, David. And I just want to tell people that the bills, the moratorium bills, plus the local control bill, we'll put up on Reggie's website so people know the numbers and can contact their particular legislator to say, we want these bills to come out of committee. We want them to pass. So the website is www.justiceforreggie.com.
Very good. Jamala Rogers, I will talk to you next week.
Next week.
We'll have another election under our belt. See what happens.
Wow.
Everybody needs to go out and vote on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Vote on Tuesday. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Albinga. They beat the Taliban, almost, but now it's back, and it may be a tougher opponent for the U.S. than ever with big plans for the spring. Al-Qaeda has big plans, too.
Intelligence sources tell ABC News that once again, top Al-Qaeda leaders have a safe haven, this time in Pakistan, from which they've been planning a new major attack on the United States. They are also stepping up their attacks on U.S. and NATO troops in Afghanistan. There's been a five-fold increase in suicide attacks in the last year.
ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross. It can be very expensive to crash a car, even just a low-speed fender bender, in a parking lot. And the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says blame your bumper.
The cars with the highest damage costs, the Volkswagen Jetta and the Nissan Maxima. Each required more than $9,000 in repairs after the four tests. Cars with the lowest repair costs, the Mitsubishi Galant, about $4,200, and the Toyota Camry, roughly $4,900.
ABC's Elizabeth Leamy at the testing facility in suburban Washington. Spring isn't here yet, but parts of the Midwest and Southeast are getting some very spring-like weather. The severe variety, the National Weather Service is checking out reports of 17 tornadoes since yesterday morning, three of them today. A winter storm has dumped up to a foot of snow in parts of the Pacific Northwest and the Plains. It's official, hardly a surprise, though. Arizona Senator John McCain is running for president, but you can't exactly call him a shoo-in for the GOP nomination yet.
In the latest ABC News poll, New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani leads McCain 44% to 21%, and the key reason for that is the defection of many white evangelical conservatives going into the Giuliani camp. Now, the irony is that even though McCain has had a lot of trouble with the Christian right and with conservatives in general, Giuliani is much more liberal than he on many key issues.
ABC News senior political correspondent Jake Tapper. The Dow had dropped 200 points at one point. It's now down 120. This is ABC News.
Look, there, high on the shelf of your favorite drugstore. It's Maximum Strength Pepcid AC. It has the power to rescue you from the worst heartburn. Nothing is stronger and faster than Maximum Strength Pepcid AC at blocking tough stomach acid, not even Zantac. So feel free, eat, drink, be happy, and stop worrying about heartburn. Get Maximum Strength Pepcid AC. So effective, it's guaranteed or your money back. Visit PepsidGuarantee.com for more information. Use only as directed.
Top three reasons my house is getting a makeover. Number three, once upon a time, I had beige carpets. Then I had boys. Number two, somehow my oven can heat an entire kitchen, but only half a pie. And number one, I can take the after photos before I have to pay for it.
Right now, get special deferred financing on purchases store-wide with your Home Depot or Expo Consumer Credit Card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through March 7th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Then charge cards, then credit cards, and then debit cards, and the next preferred method of payment may be your finger. Here's ABC's Jim Hickey.
Get the Yellow Pages talking.
Yellow Pages made the phrase famous.
Let your fingers do the walking.
Today, you can let your fingers do a lot more. Access secure computers, unlock doors, replace credit cards. It's called biometrics, and it's catching on. A Florida company is testing door locks that open or close with fingerprint identification.
6.5 million fingerprints.
British police use biometrics to identify suspects while on patrol.
Wow.
And a Korean cell phone maker makes a phone with a fingerprint reader for security. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Now, you may dread that visit to the dentist, but go. A British study says the cleaning won't just help your teeth, it could keep your ticker healthy. The worst dental hygiene you have, or I should say the worse your dental hygiene, the more likely you are to have heart disease or even a heart attack. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Frenchmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, Ameren UE is offering a compromise to Illinois customers. The power company's representatives met with state legislators yesterday afternoon to discuss a $35 million assistance program. The package comes in response to an outcry from customers over the recent rise in electric bills. Ameren's rates have been frozen for the past 10 years, but the higher rates went into effect at the start of the year. The plan requires approval from the Illinois Commerce Commission. Some Illinois state lawmakers don't approve of the plan, saying it doesn't do enough. Police have identified the driver of a vehicle that caught fire and rolled into an area river. 22-year-old Bradley Devine of Sunset Hills was reportedly driving on McCausland near Arsenal when his vehicle went off the road. Police say the car caught fire before rolling into the river De Pere. Tow truck operators pulled the vehicle from the river and found Devine's body inside. Finally this hour, the Blues return to the ice this evening when they take on the Islanders in New York. St. Louis is looking to follow up on their 3-1 win over the Vancouver Canucks on Tuesday. Both teams may be showing off some new faces acquired before the trading deadline. The note are expected to be accompanied by newcomers Brad Boyes and Bill Niemenen. New York made one of the biggest moves, acquiring former Edmonton star forward Ryan Smith. Smith will be making his debut with the team tonight. The puck drops at 6:35. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 370 from Elm through Truman. Look for traffic easing due to an accident. It's cleared at Truman Road. Eastbound 40 from the Boone Bridge through Clarkson Valley. Look for no delays. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through K. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass approaching 270 Overpass is starting to ease up, actually. You still may see some residual volume problems at 270 Overpass. Northbound 270 at 44, by the way, is moving well all the way up to Big Bend. Northbound 270 at 70, look for some delays in the 70 exit lanes, but everything's looking good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well in the landing. Westbound Poplar Street Bridge traffic is moving well from 3rd Street through Midspan into downtown. No problems to report there. Westbound 270 is rolling well from Chain of Rocks Bridge into the Missouri side of the fence. Eastbound 44 is looking good all the way into downtown. Northbound 55 is looking good from Butler Hill through the 255-270 interchange. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now, taking a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, tornado watch is in effect until noon. Otherwise, very windy, mostly cloudy, occasional showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Some may be severe at times with large hail and damaging winds, highs in the lower 60s, but the temps will be falling into the 40s by the afternoon. Southwest wind gusts will be around 20 to 30 miles per hour with a chance of gusts up to 45 miles per hour. The chance of rain today is 80%. For this evening, windy, much colder, mostly cloudy till early morning, becoming partly cloudy with a low around 30. For Friday, blustery, cooler, partly cloudy partly sunny in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day, highs in the mid-40s. Friday evening, mostly cloudy with a low only in the mid-20s. And then for Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high around 40. Saturday evening, look forward to partly cloudy skies, low in the lower 20s. And Sunday, we'll go ahead and give you Sunday, mostly sunny, but the high will only be in the lower 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 63 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 63 as well, and thunderstorms. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the top of the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Automatic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Strange weather in this part of the country. Strange weather out there. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And my toll free is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I want to talk a little bit about a show that I did yesterday. I had Deborah J. Cohen on to talk about the Black Youth Report. And one of the interesting facts that came out, that the report revealed, is the fact that when you talk to young people of African descent and you talk to them about politics and you talk to them about their elected officials and you ask them in terms of race to compare the politicians in their community, how do you see your elected officials? And the concern that I had was what the report revealed was that they didn't see a difference. And because those politicians are not speaking to the issues that matter to them, jobs, being able to have a safe community, being able to have opportunities, and racism. And I sit here in this small city in St. Louis, and we have an election coming up with Lewis Reed. We have a school board board race coming up in April. We have a pending state takeover of the St. Louis public schools. I have to ask myself, where are the and I'm going to describe where some of the elected officials' positions are on these issues. But to me, those young people raise a very good point. I want to talk about our good congressman. I want to talk about our elected officials on this issue of our schools. This is why the youth disconnect from politics. Because they see in far too many politicians the same unconcern, disconnect from them as everybody else. My name is Liz Brown. I'm not done yet. Stay with me.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 928. 5:30 Sunday night, sponsored by the St. Charles Lwanga Center.
A weekly newspaper is reporting that Jeffrey Boyd is acting like Slade's boy. You decide if it's true.
Jeffrey Boyd sponsored a bill that would have stripped Darlene Green of most of her power.
Jeffrey Boyd supports Slade and the Republican request to a state takeover of our schools.
Jeffrey Boyd helped Slade to deny 22nd Ward voters their right to a recall election by using political intimidation.
Jeffrey Boyd gave the 22nd Ward's free home repair grant money to Catholic charity.
Jeffrey Boyd has made promises he has not kept.
Does he sound like Francis Slade's boy?
What do you think?
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Isn't that sexy? I love that. I love that bumper. 1-877-920-WGNU. Welcome. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Yes, I was wanting to call in earlier part of the morning when one guy was saying something about it was a negative comment about Lewis Reed that he couldn't win.
Well, it was a voice of defeat is really what
right.
It was.
Right. Absolutely. But you know what? Those people, those are the ones that's not even voting. That's what I believe, that they're not voting. And like you said, it's a voice of defeat, which, you know what, those people, we just walk right past them. And just leave them in the ditch. And we're going to keep doing what we're going to do, and we will be a victor.
You know, and I think your point is well taken about stepping over obstacles like that or walking around obstacles like that, because they're negative. I mean, you try to remove negativity like that, not only from your in front of you as you're on your way to the polls, but you also remove negativity like that from your life. That, how can anybody come up and say, well, they're not going to win because I just know. Know what folks over in the South Side are going to do? Well, you know, shut up.
That's right.
You know, shut up.
And you know what? You know what I heard? I heard Donald Miss Lewis Farrakhan say this, Miss Brown. He said, "The greater the demand, the greater the man." Mm-hmm. So when there's a demand that's on you, and you, and by right, you have a birthright to struggle. If you don't struggle, you know, what is there to live for?
That's fact.
And you know what? This whole universe is moving towards truth, fair, and justice. Irregardless of whoever it is, I don't care how much money a candidate have, he or she will be defeated if they are on, if they are not on the right side of the future.
Or they can be defeated. Every one of them can be defeated. If people that understand and are willing to fight for and demand what is right, they will be defeated. Now, I'm not sure, and I am not, and I do not expect to be made certain of how these people will be defeated. They may not be defeated in the way that we think that they're going to be, that they should be.
That's right.
You know, so, but our job, our charge is to speak truth to power. And to fight what is morally wrong. And it's not just to take an opinion, have an opinion about what is morally right and what is morally wrong, but fight against what is morally wrong.
That's right, because the universe, it was constructed based on truth and not falsehood. And, you know, let me say this in closing. You know what? I've been listening to you, Ms. Brown, from like day one. You have not changed. You've been consistent with the truth. I admire you for that. And what can I say?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Jesse Todd, committeeman.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing? Liz, may I make a quick announcement about a circuit breaker property tax form that we will be filling out Saturday, March the 2nd through April the 13th at Trinity Church, 600 North Euclid. People need to bring all proof of income and rent or property tax receipt. If people have questions, they can call me at 531-4940. Also, I would like to make a statement about, you're correct, there is a disconnect in the community because of lack of black elected officials speaking out. The best example is the school. This school issue is going to affect every class of black person. First is racist, because most of the staff in the St. Louis public schools are black people. Plus it's class, because we are dealing with poor people, middle class teachers, and never in the history of St. Louis has both classes been attacked the way they're being attacked now. The other thing is going to take away retirement. If not now, in the future, black teachers will not have retirement. And the kids who will be left behind won't have decent schools. Also, this will lead to buildings being closed, jobs being lost. Eventually, black people will be moved out of St. Louis through blight and big developers coming in, taking over, building houses that working class and black people can't afford to buy or rent. Okay.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Elected officials, period, have a responsibility of deliverance. Elected officials of African descent have an especially large responsibility, because the fact of the matter is that most elected officials of African descent are put there mostly by people of African descent. Mostly by people of African descent. There are few places in this country where people who are of African descent are representing mostly white areas. It just doesn't happen like that in America. Now, that being the fact, then elected officials of African descent owe their constituents so much. They are, whether they want to admit it or not, just like people who say, people who are out in positions of visibility, say, I'm not a role model. Yes, you are. That is what has been, life has thrusted upon you. How are you going to respond to the charge? Elected officials of African descent, how are you going to respond to the charge of the history that got you to the place where you are? People died. People were hung from trees. People have died in graves that no one will ever find. There are dead bodies buried all over this nation of people belonging to people of African descent who died as a result of the legacy of racism in this country. They're dead because they're black. Your people, they dead because they tried to vote. They dead because they talked about voting. They dead because they told other people about voting. They're dead because they learned how to spell the word vote. They're dead because of what they tried to do to get these elected officials to where they are right now in our history as elected officials of African descent. That is your legacy. That is your charge, and that is your responsibility. And we have it's just astounding to me that we have folks out here saying, oh, well, it's not about race anymore. It's about the issues. Shut up. You're lying to yourself. And if there's one person in life that you should not lie to, is yourself. And they don't try to lie to me either. People of African descent who are elected officials have a special legacy and charge. Irrespective of what they want to say, their responsibility is, you were born with this. That is the blessing that has been given to you, and the charge and the responsibility. And when we have a report coming out saying that there is a disconnect between young people of African descent, young people of color, saying that I don't see any difference between black elected officials and white elected officials. Neither one of them are delivering to me what needs to be done to change the quality of life that I have. Explain to me why. We have state reps out there that have not taken a position, a strong position on, oh, this is unacceptable for the state to take over the school. This is wrong. Why? This is a moral issue. How is it that the titular head of black elected officials in the state of Missouri, or the city of St. Louis anyway, Lacey Clay, has not taken a position of no against the state takeover of our schools? That's unacceptable. You can't hide in Washington about that. You can't hide behind. You gotta take a stance on this. You certainly came out and spoke on behalf of your church. And you said that you were not going to support the right of a grandparent to take their granddaughter to across state lines to get an abortion. You said, I'm doing this because this is what my bishop wants me to do. I'm going to stand with my church on this. You stood against the money from Planned Parenthood. You stood against the votes and support that you've gotten from now. You took that stance because your archbishop told, I'm going to stand with my church on that. Okay. All right. Where are you with the babies here in the city of St. Louis? They need you to stand with them as well. 1-877-920-WGNU. Youssef. You know what? I'm going to put you on hold, Youssef, because I got...
Morally wrong is what you're talking about.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, okay? Because I got carried away there. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I got lost in my message. I'll be back after this. Do y'all want the phone numbers to call? I feel that you do. I'll go get that for you. Stay with me.
Reporting that Jeffrey Boyd is acting like Slade's boy. You decide if it's true.
Jeffrey Boyd sponsored a bill that would have stripped Darlene Green of most of her power.
Jeffrey Boyd supports Slay and the Republican request to a state takeover of our schools.
Jeffrey Boyd helped Slay to deny 22nd Ward voters their right to a recall election by using political intimidation.
Jeffrey Boyd gave the 22nd Ward's free home repair grant money to Catholic charities.
Jeffrey Boyd has made promises he has not kept.
Does he sound like Francis Slade's boy?
What do you think?
Previously on the Sloan Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU.
I am a parent, and I live in the city of St. Louis. There is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children. And not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by the committee to elect Louis Reed, Thomas Shepard, treasurer.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh my goodness, there's so much stuff to talk about. So much stuff to talk about. Let's get some of it done. Yusuf, thanks for holding on.
Yes, ma'am. I'm trying to get a little bit of laundry here this morning, but there is morally is what you're speaking of, and you know, that is the key word. It was a moral thing for, you know, the thing with Jim Shoesbury and, you know, not, you know, saying a prayer for, you know, the lady's son or whatever. You know, that's morally. But morally is what we're talking about right here. It's morally, and it's a human right for a child to receive a good education.
Mm-hmm.
It's a human right for, not a civil right, but a human right for a child to have decent education, decent housing, decent clothing. Okay, you know, this is a ramification for a fellow human being to, you know, have toward another human being in this world. Okay, this is what the Lord Savior Christ talked about, you know, love ye as one another, you know, and this is, you know, we're not seeing this right now.
We're not seeing that. What we're seeing is this unprecedented, because I don't know all of the history of all of the world, but it is certainly a point in our country's history, in the world's history, where greed is just astounding. That there is a gluttony out there. There's a gluttony for money and power and control that is breathtaking.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not the one-tenth of civilization that's being slaughtered right now. We want to move to the one-third now.
Thanks for your call,
Yusuf.
Yes, ma'am. 1-877-920-WGNU. And again, this is where you're in the driver's seat here. You need to call Lacey Clay. You can call his office at 367-1970. That's 367-1970. Or call the county office at 890-0349. And ask the question, where are you on the state takeover? You need to be on the no side of that. We want to see a statement from you saying you oppose the state takeover. There needs to be a statement from Lacey Clay's office saying, I stand in complete, absolute opposition to the state takeover, to the elimination of our right to vote for school board members. We need that statement. The number is 367-1970. And also you can call State Representative Connie Johnson. Her number is 381-8667. That's 381-8667, area code 314. And ask her, where is your position on the state takeover? You live in the city of St. Louis. These are jobs and lives that are being mucked about with. Where is your position on this? I'm going to give you the other state reps as well. Need to call them. This is huge. 1-877-920-WGNU. Ralph.
Yes, Liz. I've written down four elements of a statement, which so I can be compact here. Then they're all linked together. I missed your Peter Downs, and I think it's Tuesday, and I had asked you to report on how much had been taken in by the fund. However, I don't want to know that. I think that what I was suggesting was that people that can afford to give $100,000, $500,000, let alone, should seriously consider doing that in order to speed this along and get the brakes on the process now. Let them know that there's something out here that needs to happen. But the representation now I see as representing the families and the children that have to go to these schools have no choice. It's not a question of that the people can or can't donate $5 or $10 conveniently, but the fact that these children have to go to these schools, so the whole future of St. Louis for everybody in many respects is affected. The next point is the school board activities that are much more than entertaining. They're our main stage and forum for mayoral politics and for the real down to the gritty politics in St. Louis, and we don't have to wait around for these phoned up controversies at election phases. And this school board is where it can happen now for many people in their intellectual response to the highly racially organized politics in St. Louis that we're seeing. They don't want to change anything. They've got it all figured out. They've got the people that are hooked up and vote all organized, and they've got all the ways to state the issues organized, and everybody's just being played for very primitive racial ways. And then the last thing, I've got, since St. Louis is so racially motivated in its politics, I guess I pretty much covered that point. But my first, I really don't want to know if there's been a very little or a whole lot donated to the law firm down in Jefferson City.
Well, there has been a whole lot donated, and there has been a whole lot contributed, and I want people to continue to contribute because we have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. People are giving. We need people to make certain that they continue to give because it looks like it's going to happen within the next 2 weeks. So we really need to make people need to step up and contribute.
to be appropriate for you to spell out what happens first and how it and if it's happening and what's been accomplished.
You know, in terms of the lawsuit.
Yes.
No, I'm not putting any of that over the air, except to say that the lawyers are extremely excited, extremely, extremely excited about this lawsuit.
That's good to hear. I'm going to go ahead and match my former contribution.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart, Ralph. Thank you so much for that. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone, Mike.
How you doing, young lady?
I am outstanding.
When you get a chance, can you expound on the lawsuit? Because I've been away for a while. Secondly, it's a travesty about the Clay and the Clay family itself. All right? He has a father who is right now enjoying a golden parachute from the support of so many people for the last 30-some-odd years. He positioned his son. His son is in that position. And he's carrying on the legacy of his father by not supporting anything. These guys, if Jimmy Carter can still talk about political issues,
Carter can take on Israel at this late point in his life,
right.
You know, and take that on. Certainly we have Lacey. Congressman Clay has a moral obligation, since he was, as senator, introduced the legislation that reduced the number of people on our school board set this up so that these four people could be put in office. So if anything, you have a moral obligation because you helped put this, you helped set it up, tee it up to put it in this position. You have a moral obligation to take a firm stance on this issue. Are you and then you also have a moral obligation to insert yourself into this situation. I have a letter in front of me from signed by Lacey Clay from 3 years ago when Slay's Raiders were in office, when they wanted the DSEG money, a letter sent to Bob Holden to release the DSEG money so that it could be in the hands of Bill Roberti and them. So we know as a congressman he can and has inserted himself into this issue.
Well, that lets you know that he has no dog in this fight.
Oh, I think he does, and it's a dog. Well, and it's a dog that will bite all of us.
Maybe what I'm trying to say is that his interest is totally not the same as ours.
Fact.
Have a good day, babe.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. And if you're interested in that phone number, ask the question. Ask the question. And I got a call saying that he was for this, but someone telling me that an elected official is for something is not enough. I need to see something in writing that says, oh yeah, this is my position on this issue. 1-877-920-WGNU, and that number is 367-1970. 367-1970. You're on the wake up call.
Hey, Lynn.
Cody, good morning.
You and I, we can celebrate at noontime come Tuesday.
Not right now.
I'm out here every day, man.
Mm-hmm.
With Louis Ann and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, man, there ain't nothing but good things doing for him, man. The South Side or Farmer, they called it for 100 sand. One day, 2 days later, they called back for another 100 sand, you know. The Farmer stuff. Now, what with the Black Farmer? Oh, they ain't with him, is that true?
They're not, and that's very, very, very disappointing. That's very disappointing. And the fact of the matter is that Lewis's record with respect to the issues for fire are unparalleled. There is nothing that they have asked him for that he hasn't done. I think that their concern is that if two people that we don't like are supporting him,
right,
then we don't trust
right
that he is what, and my life experience that tells me to look at what people have done. Firefighters have supported Lewis Reed in the past. The white firefighters have supported him in the past, and that hasn't stopped him one iota from doing the things that the black firefighters wanted him to do.
Aaliyah, It's a guy over in the 16 ward with his lady cut off. He's a Republican over there for the alderman over there. You heard anything about that?
I don't know anything about that story, Cody.
But I heard he's real popular. He might get the guy that's been there 20 years, you know.
Don't know anything about that, Cody.
But please give him publicity if you find out who he is, okay?
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
If you're like most people, the work of finances and investing can be very confusing. How much money will I need when I retire? What will it take to send my children to college? What are my investment options? If you want clear direction and guidance, then call Heartland Financial Security Group at 314-512-8527. 314-512-8527. At Heartland Financial Security Group, their goal is to help you maintain a long-term, consistent investment strategy. Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member NASD, SIPC. Heartland Financial Security Group and Securities America are unaffiliated.
A weekly newspaper is reporting that Jeffrey Boyd is acting like Slade's boy. You decide if it's true.
Jeffrey Boyd sponsored a bill that would have stripped Darlene Green of most of her power.
Jeffrey Boyd supports Slay and the Republican request to a state takeover of our schools.
Jeffrey Boyd helped Slay to deny 22nd Ward voters their right to a recall election by using political intimidation.
Jeffrey Boyd gave the 22nd Ward's free home repair grant money to Catholic charities.
Jeffrey Boyd has made promises he has not kept.
Does he sound like Francis Slay's boy?
What do you think?
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Been around the whole world, still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all of the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found. The little things and the joy they bring. The little things, little things.
Oh, Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. We only have a few days here before this election on Tuesday, just a few days. What are you going to be doing right now to make certain that things turn out the way that they are supposed to? Fascinating endorsements. The Post-Dispatch endorses Lewis Reed. Southside Journal endorses Shrewsbury, but says that Reed would make a better mayor. You know, and that again, that's got to cut to the heart. That has to be the dagger in the heart, the shriveled heart. Oh, maybe the dagger couldn't find the heart because it is so shriveled of a Shrewsbury. You know, and it is not an exaggeration to refer to the size of his heart. How does a man who is in a leadership position, an elected leadership position, how does he look into the face of a 12, 13-year-old and say no prayer for that child on the operating table for brain surgery because you mad at his mama for supporting somebody that's running against you? That's a shriveled up old heart. That's a shriveled up evil heart. How do you brag on the south side of St. Louis about opposing millions of dollars for parks on the north side of the city of St. Louis? Brag about trying to kill a trauma center on the north side of St. Louis when there is none, when there are none. When you are elected to represent the entire city, that's a shriveled up old heart. How do you make commercials? I'm talking about television commercials and then print ads, and use the same four black children in every single one of your doggone stinky little ads that come to our house. How do you do that? How do you do that? You got a shriveled up heart. You do not represent the entire city of St. Louis, and you have no intention to do so. And even if you had an intention to do so, you got no plan. So we have the trifecta of ineffectiveness. Got no heart. Got no plan. And you got no desire to change anything. In fact, a quote from Jim Shrewsbury was, "I do not plan to change anything." Is that clear enough for y'all? Is that clear enough for y'all? It is not his intention to change a doggone thing. Bump all y'all. I ain't changing jack. That's what he's saying to you, and that's what he's saying about you. Y'all mean nothing to him. Y'all don't mean nothing to him. And for those of you that are honest with yourself and honest with your responsibility of self, you know that it is your job to weigh in on these issues. How hard is it to get up in the morning and go vote? How hard is that? About the same as sitting in your car and going through a drive-thru and picking up something to eat that you shouldn't be eating. It ain't that hard. And it is your responsibility. These are critical times. And you know what else? These are historical times. If Cindy Sheehan can be asked to sit in front of a committee in the United States Senate and talk about why this war is wrong, and if the representatives from the United States Senate cannot find a single person to speak in support of the war that she is speaking against, That tells you what God can do and why you must be vigilant in your actions. Go back 2 years and see if anybody would have asked Cindy Sheehan to sit and say anything about this war. Go back 3 years. You got to weather the storms. You got to, first of all, you got to embrace your responsibility. There is an election on Tuesday. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do this weekend about that? We have all kinds of fights and battles out here. This is an easy one. All you got to do for this battle is to get up one day and vote. And that battle's done. That's all you got to do for that battle. Other battles, it takes a lot more effort. This battle, all you got to do is one day. Take an hour out of that one day and go vote, and your battle on that issue is done. Come on now. We can do this. We must do this. There is too much at stake for us not to do that. And I don't want to hear anybody calling my show anymore, talking to me about how wonderful Obama is, and he don't even live in your city. And you haven't done what you need to do for a Lewis Reed, about a Lewis Reed. All politics is local, baby. And the quality of your life will be determined by what you do on election day, on March 6, 2007. That report that I did yesterday, the state of the black youth, I just have to keep going back to that because that is the canary in the mine. When we hear babies that are so sane, this is the first report that's been done like this in decades. They're saying they're disconnected. They're saying that their needs are not being met. And then I'm looking at a report that's saying that the number of Americans living in severe poverty has expanded dramatically under the Bush administration with, are you ready for this? 16 million people in, what do they call this? They call this the greatest nation in the world. There are 16 million people living in this greatest nation of the world with an individual income of less than $5,000 a year. Did you hear what I said? What I said. 16 million people who live in the United States of America on an individual income of less than $5,000 a year. And there are families that are living on incomes of less than $10,000 a year. The quality of your life is directly related to the politics in your community. There's a reason why the number of Americans living in severe poverty have expanded dramatically under this administration. Who's handling the politics of this administration? Oh, that would be Boy George. But this growing gap between the haves and the have-nots has been growing since the 70s. So you want to know why the children born in the 70s, the children born in the 80s, the children born in the 90s. Oh, for God's sake, if you were born in 1990, you'd be 17 years old today. That is just too much to wrap my mind around. But the fact of the matter is that every single one of those decades, the gap between the haves and the have-nots have continued to grow. So it makes sense why these babies see the world. They are honest with the world that they live in, and they see the world as it is. And we've got a lot of business to tend to. We have a lot of stuff we have to make up for due to our inattentiveness. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. I'm going to end it right now, but I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow. I've got plenty. And you don't want to miss the show tomorrow. I'm going to have the parents on of the young, the first woman soldier in the state of Missouri to be killed in Iraq. Her parents are going to be on tomorrow because that baby was murdered. And they're going to be on to talk about that. You don't want to miss that exclusive interview tomorrow at 8 o'clock, only on the Wake Up Call. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you so much for listening, and stay strong.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.